The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Large black coffee.
Do you mean a venti?
No, I mean a large.
Venti is large.
No, venti is 20. Large is large. In fact, tall is large, and grande is Spanish for large. Venti's the only one that doesn't mean large. It's also the only one that's Italian. Congratulations, you're stupid in three languages.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Now, why do you bow for that guy?
Because he's the king, and he rules the entire realm.
Oh, my bad. Is that when he is or isn't whacking it to The Sims?
Paul Perillo.
You know what I used to eat for breakfast? Cocaine. You know what I used to eat for lunch? Cocaine.
What'd you have for dinner? Was it cocaine?
And Andy. And Andy?
The sun is shining, but you have lost the ability to take any joy in life.
Andy Hart.
You're just a miserable dick now. You're mean to everybody.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
I call myself the Booby Watch. Even got my own comic book. Adventures of the Booby Watch.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
It's this fantasy world where anything is possible.
Sounds gay.
If by gay you mean the old English definition of fun, enjoyable, and carefree, then yes, it's extremely gay.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We got a big show lined up. Everybody's excited about this game coming up Saturday night. And at 12:30, we've got Mike Kliss from the Denver Post, who's going to talk about why he's got a problem with the Patriots signing Josh McDaniels, and we'll give him the opportunity to explain that to Patriots Nation. That'll be at 12:30. And, of course, we've got your calls. We've got your emails lined up for the show. Everybody is just going crazy. It's not just because of Tebow. It's because of the fact that Patriots, you know, have a pretty good shot of going to the Super Bowl this year, and I think, you know, the last two seasons aside, I think people are excited again. And now people are just walking in. You know, we're on air, but that's all right. We'll just walk into a live radio show and talk but it's going to be a big show. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Paul and Andy have just walked in and from the locker room. And what's going on in that locker room, guys?
It's a little quiet in the locker room. There were a lot of guys talking at the podium today.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot to report from the locker room. Aaron Hernandez had a big group around him.
Was he dressed today?
Yeah, he was. He was. He had some fun with the group. I talked to Kevin Falk briefly. We came to the conclusion, Freddie, it'd be a good time to sort of, grab another Super Bowl title.
Yep.
That's the plan, boss.
Yep.
Was the report from Kevin.
Yep.
He's my guy. He's my only guy left. He's the only guy I can talk to in the locker room.
Yep. Yep.
Kenny Mayne was here during the main event on Ross Patron.
Yeah. His events haven't been very funny. Ocho Cinco's events have been more funny.
It should be more like the side event now. It's not the main event.
Matt Light sounded funny. His line was something to the effect of he has to plan the going away parties for people that leave, and it's about how he's been gone and back. And he said something like, "You try showing up at Applebee's with 60 guys and no reservation. It's not that easy. He screwed me or something."
That's good. That's good.
Light's good though. He's got delivery.
He's got a future.
He had delivery at the podium when he said, he wasn't surprised by the Tebow hype because, you know, I'm not surprised by anything that comes out in the media anymore. I was watching this 7-minute piece the other day on a girl eating M&Ms doing a handstand. I mean, I was impressed for a little while. He says it's also justified, the hype of Tebow. You know,
oh,
he's
sure.
Won, so.
Well, we're in Broncos week mode.
But you know what? I thought all of the guys were really pretty not in total clampdown mode at the podium. It was Brian Waters, Matthew Slater, and Matt Light. And Light acknowledged that, you know, he's thought about the fact that they've lost two straight postseason games at home. And, you know, that bothers him. And, you know, they have, a lot of people have made a lot of plays to get us where we're at right now, but we need to do something with it. Yeah. And he also said, it's great to be at home, but we got to go out and give our fans something to cheer about.
Sure.
I mean, he was very, I think if you really listen to what he said, he told you a lot.
Okay. So, and that was something I was thinking about. Would anyone ever ask Belichick, you know, I know that every season's its own, but when you're preparing for the Broncos in this playoff game, do the last two playoff games come into your mind at all? You know, and we have Matt Light's answer now, but
I was the one who asked the question.
Oh, good, Andy.
No wonder why he thought it was such an insightful answer. Now
well,
it's
Steve
all
Buckley's writing a whole column on it.
It's all coming together now.
Just saying.
I mean, I think the last time, no matter
that's the guy you want to have modeled.
I think no matter what you're doing in life,
he's writing his column,
you know,
me.
Whatever activity it is, the last time you did it has to come in mind the next time.
Yeah,
you
but
do
they
it
always pretend it doesn't. No, I just think it's nice that they admit that they're human beings.
Right. I think it's just human nature.
Bill's
that
thing
it does
for that would be, yeah, I mean, we of course go back and look at the things that we did leading up to the game in preparation and the things that we liked that we did, things that we think that maybe didn't work out as well, and we adjust. He says that about training camp.
No, I'm not talking about the last time
I'm talking
they played the Broncos.
About a human being
saying. I'm talking about the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
No, what we did to prepare for those home
that
playoff
is all
games.
Crap.
But
I'm
that's the answer.
About,
that's the answer you're
right,
going to get from
crap.
Bill.
It's absolute crap. I'm talking about being a human being and say, the last two times I went out on a playoff stage, I pooped myself. And everybody does that. You're a human being. You have a memory.
Right.
And they all say that, Light said it a million times, that the losses stick around with you much longer than the wins.
Right.
It hurts more to lose than it feels good to win.
Right.
And that's where they're at. They've lost three in a row in the postseason, but two in a row at home in this basic situation.
Right. So I'm sure that they're thinking about
this.
Yes. Yeah.
He also compared the passion of Drew Brees and Tom Brady, I thought was mildly interesting. He said, any of these guys that are really competitors and passionate, you know, my college quarterback Drew Brees was the same way. Tom Brady's the same way. When you lose, that's
big. Bill Parcells says, you know, you lose, you throw up in your mouth a little bit, you can't sleep.
Well, we know how Brady is. I mean, he is one of those that, you know, the first time Jack beats him at checkers or something, he's going to cry and throw the board or something. It's going to be the father throwing the board and sulking.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. I posted a little tweet this morning. I noticed on NFL.com they had a little poll on their homepage, and it said, which of the playoff teams have the best receiving core? Did not include the Patriots. Patriots were not included in the list, and I'm thinking, wow, I mean, I can see them say, well, the tight ends aren't really receivers, but is that fair?
Well, if they're going strictly by receivers, I mean, did they eliminate Jimmy Graham and did they eliminate Finley
they had the Saints listed.
So they just had team names.
Yeah, team
names. Then my guess is Andy's right. They probably just said wide receivers is what they were talking about, but that's not telling the whole story.
Yeah, I disrespect. I put that out there.
Who was listed?
They had the Packers, the Saints, the Giants, and one other team.
Packers, Saints, Giants.
And one other
Those
team.
Those are all legit.
The Texans. The Texans was the fourth team.
Who's their other receiver?
Texans are on par with the Patriots in terms of wide receivers. I think Andre Johnson's better than anybody the Patriots have.
Sure.
But
well, yeah. But
Welker's better than any other body that they can throw out there. And
yeah.
I couldn't tell you another receiver on that.
But if you're just going Jacoby wide receivers, Ford. Then it's probably, you know, you probably make an argument for those other teams.
Oh, yeah.
Just wide receivers.
Branch has been nothing of
Branch
late,
has been very inconsistent,
Ocho's
and Ocho's invisible.
But, you know, when I say receiving core.
Yeah, they're talking about wide receivers.
I know, but I don't think that's fair.
I agree. It's not telling the whole story.
Well, right. And certainly it's not even valuable because three of the teams, tight ends are a major part of their offense.
Right.
Certainly in the Saints and Patriots, it's a huge part of their offense. So to eliminate that from any sort of comparative discussion is just stupid.
I think they should have said receiving game or
pass catchers.
Pass, you know, whatever. You know, whose receiving game is the best.
If you had to pick the best pass catchers, who would it be? Like that, teams that are in the playoffs.
Who has the best pass catchers?
Can I just ask you?
I'd probably say, Packers, Saints, 1-2. Or
I'd go Saints.
2-1.
And we talked about this. I think Darren Sproles offers a dimension that none of the other teams can offer.
I think the Saints are the deepest in terms of options to throw the ball to. But I just this was NFL.com, you said, Freddie?
Yes.
You sure it wasn't San Francisco, the other one?
No.
Okay.
I am sure it wasn't.
You sure it wasn't?
Absolutely.
Because I just was wondering if it was an NFC thing.
No.
Because it seemed like there was three NFC teams.
Texans,
and
I looked at it real close. I'm like, am I not reading this right? And it was Texans was the fourth team with the Giants, the Packers,
and
the Saints.
Disrespect.
That's right.
Well, see, the other thing about putting the Texans in there, they're probably their second best target is a tight end.
Right.
Just like, you know, a lot of the other teams. They don't have a lot of
stupid poll.
They don't have a lot of wide receivers.
It's not a good poll like Patriots.com puts up.
So, anyway. I thought that was interesting. I'm looking for little nuggets now to get Patriots Nation riled up.
You know, because they need to be, right?
Right. Well, yeah.
Why?
I think that, you know, I think there's a portion of the fan base that is, wait and see before I get excited.
I agree.
There's another portion of the fan base that is always, you know, the doomsday, you know, looking for the other shoe to fall.
Like John Rook.
But isn't the vast majority of the fan base sort of saying, you know, we're 13.5-point favorites over a team that doesn't belong here?
I'm not sure if it's the majority.
Wow.
Oh, for this game, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's
for this
what I'm
game,
talking
yes.
about. But what else are we talking about?
But because of that, they're not that excited.
Once
you know,
again,
like,
we're looking past this game but talking about the AFC
but I think,
title
game. But I think, I think there's fear. It's like, I know we should win this game. I think we should win this game.
I don't sense any fear at all.
What if we don't? What if we don't? What if this Tebow thing is real and he comes in here and we lose? I am going to be so embarrassed. I won't be able to, you know, look at my coworkers. You know, all that stuff. You know, I think that there's just some trepidation there among Patriots fans, and I'm saying forget that.
I don't sense a lot of that. No? I'm not saying that I don't say. I mean, there's one guy in this building that I talk to on a regular basis who has that mindset weekly, and he does not have that mindset for this game.
Okay.
So I haven't really seen a lot of that. Now, I think, and there's a different member of the organization I spoke to this morning who's very concerned already about Baltimore, which I think that is kind of crazy, too, because who knows what's going to happen with Baltimore and who knows what's going to happen with New England this week.
Right.
I think the Patriots could go out there and win this game 45-10, and Baltimore, if they win, could struggle badly and have all those things about Joe Flacco that people complain about, and I don't think you'd feel the same way heading into next week. So
right.
I think it's a little bit premature.
Absolutely. Big news today in the NFL, I think, you know, there's a couple hirings. The Jets hired Tony Sparano as their offensive coordinator. But more importantly, Manish Mehta, I guess, is that his name? Mehta?
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
Who covers the team like no, he's one
excellent.
Of the best beat writers out there. Has a lot of inside sources with the Jets from the players. And they're all telling him that Sanchez is a lazy bum. They want to get rid of him and they want Peyton Manning. And it's out there. I mean, it's more than one guy saying it. It seems like a team-wide cry.
Wouldn't you want Peyton Manning even if Sanchez was the hardest working
right.
guy in
well,
show business?
Well, I think that's a little bit unfair. The hard worker part is a damning criticism.
Exactly.
But to say, I mean, virtually every team in the league, if you're talking Manning being healthy, would take Manning. There's like five teams that would say no.
Well, it makes sense because they've got Tom Moore now on their staff,
yep.
who, of course, was the offensive coordinator and consultant over at the Colts. With Manning, so he knows Manning like nobody else.
And aren't they bringing somebody else in, rumored, to be assistant head coach?
Todd Haley's coming
Todd
in,
Haley. Okay.
Which I think is a bad move. I like the Sparano move for them, but the Haley move seems like that's the type of personality they don't need right now.
And it seems like the type of personality that could end up with a fight with Rob Rex
right.
Ryan.
But now,
on the
but
side.
The other thing this is telling me is, you know,
that's how it's going to end for Rex Ryan.
Yeah, Sparano's a big name. Todd Haley's a big name. They got rid of. The wide receivers coach, who was also, you know, a well-known guy.
Henry Ellard.
Henry Ellard.
Not a well-known coach.
And they got rid of Callahan, who was also been around. This
head coach.
This tells me, though, you know, they get rid of these guys and they bring in some big names that Rex Ryan doesn't do a lot of that work.
Well, offense he doesn't.
He is not
I don't
a
think he really tries to pretend that he does.
He is not a hands-on guy like.
On offense.
On offense.
Well.
He does it all on defense.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
Mike Pettine is their defensive coordinator, and no one really knows what he does.
But you know, you could say that Belichick, you know, maybe he
Belichick
does do all
hands
the
hands-on for everything.
Well, he is.
There's a difference with Belichick.
He
does everything.
You know, but I just think that Ryan's going to go down in flames.
I think Andy just put the. I think that that's the way I could see it, and I don't think it'll end next year. I think they'll bounce back next year. I think they had a terrible locker room, and for a lot of reasons other than just...
Especially if they get a healthy Peyton Manning.
Well, I mean, forget that. That changes the whole equation. But, you know, 2-3 years down the road, when they finally are done with Rex Ryan, that's how it's going to end. He's going to end up getting in these cat fights with coaches, and it's going to end really ugly.
But I just want to pick the scab that is Fred. I don't understand the criticism.
Of?
Of Rex Ryan. I don't understand why it's different than Mike McCarthy hiring Dom Capers and Sean Payton hiring Greg Williams. They're ex-head coaches, big-name coordinators, who run that side of the ball. A lot of coaches do that. Belichick is the exception, not the rule.
Well, it just shows me that there's no,
Ryan is not in, you know, like you said, he's not in control of the offense whatsoever.
But nor is Sean Payton or Mike McCarthy, and they win Super Bowls. They compete for NFC titles every year.
Sean Payton is in control of his offense.
His defense, he's not. You're not listening. He controls the offense. Greg Williams controls the defense. Mike McCarthy controls
his
offense.
Yeah, but I'll bet you.
Dom Capers controls
the
defense.
I will bet you at this point, though, if Greg Williams left, you know, Sean Payton might hire a big name, but I wouldn't think he'd feel the need that I have to bring in.
I couldn't disagree with
him
more.
Now, I don't know what he thinks of next in line. Maybe he has somebody on staff that'll just continue Greg Williams' system.
Exactly.
But
he
won't do it. You're running Greg Williams' system.
Right.
Andy, just so you, I'm going to state emphatically that I agree 1,000% with what you just said.
Everybody does.
There's a lot of head coaches that don't have a lot to do with one side of the ball or the other. Bill Belichick, what makes him great, what makes, in my opinion, him the greatest, is that he is involved in everything. He is the exception, not the rule.
Right.
That's what makes him great.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll defend Rex. Web radio.
Just to recap the transcript, that's what makes Bill Belichick the greatest.
Web radio at Patriots.com.
Okay, we'll defend Rex Ryan. He's not as good as Bill.
Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. Is the phone number. I want to remind people that at around 12:30, we're going to have Mike Kliss from the Denver Post on, who will defend his critique of the Patriots hiring Josh McDaniels, and we'll give him an ample opportunity to do that. So that should be fun.
Mike Florio now on board.
Yeah,
NFL needs to close loopholes.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. And you know, one of the main reasons, and we'll talk with Mike about this, is why are we restricting these coaches? I mean, you know, now, you know, Josh McDaniels is in a little better position than most coaches. He's got some money in the bank. But where do you draw the line? I mean, these coaches have very little rights in the NFL as it is. So I don't think we should be worrying about it. And I think you said it perfectly yesterday, Andy. Those type of situations are going to police themselves. You know, it's not like teams are going to go willy-nilly bringing in guys and disrupting their coaching staff because they made the playoffs. They made the playoffs because they've had success.
And the other side.
Right.
Guys aren't just going to come in to be rented.
Right.
Tony Sperano's going to the Jets to be the Jets coordinator for 5 years, he hopes.
Hopefully, right.
Right.
Yeah.
So coaches don't want to be used for a 1 month.
I don't think this is such a big deal that we have to close the loophole. So we'll see.
The Colts obviously also hired a GM.
Yeah, the Colts, a younger guy. Gregson? Yeah, Gregson, I think.
Something like that. Is he from Philadelphia?
Yes. Yes, Paul, he is. He was a personal guy at Philadelphia.
Well thought of. I know St. Louis was supposedly interested, too.
I think he's only been in the league for like 7 years, though. Yeah.
Philadelphia's got a good level of talent. I don't know how much he's responsible for that talent, but I mean, that's a pretty talented roster.
So, you know, now the Colts can start making, you know, making moves. Whether or not they get rid of Caldwell, we'll see. And what to do with Peyton Manning. We were talking about this morning. You know, I was thinking, and, you know, you guys changed my mind about this. You know, why would you just let him go, try to get something for him? But by just letting him go, you're saving yourself a ton of money that you can now use elsewhere. And that makes sense, too.
Yeah, you certainly can't run the risk of paying him the bonus with the hopes of trading him or something. I mean, no, you can't. And I think they're trying to do a good thing for him, you know, a golden parachute type thing.
Yeah.
You don't get the money, but you can go get your money somewhere. You can go to the Jets and sign a $50 million 4-year deal or whatever.
You know, and you've got luck in the bank. You bring in another veteran to back him up. Maybe he doesn't start immediately. You have the veterans, you know, who knows, depending on how he looks in training camp. You do that. You get rid of Manning, and you use that money and restock your team with draft picks and free agents.
You know, you say you have luck in the bank. I was just thinking about that last night. I was like, imagine if they let Manning go and he signs with the Jets, and then sometime between March, whatever, and the draft, Andrew Luck gets into a car accident or something. And it happens.
Yeah.
I mean, what's his name? Fell down the stairs.
Fell down the stairs. Len Bias from the Celtics.
Len Bias died. The guy from the Giants got into a car accident, the LSU kid. I mean, it happens almost once a year to somebody. It's usually not the number one overall pick. And then you're the
Well,
Colts.
You get one of those Lloyds of London insurance policies on him.
Yeah, but
that
doesn't help you win.
No, I know. Yep.
If you don't have a quarterback, you let Manning go and you don't have luck, Now what are you doing? You're playing Curtis Painter again or Dan Orlovsky, and you're like, oh, my God, we were in the perfect situation, and now we're in hell.
Right.
Yep. A lot of luck involved. Not Andrew. Just right. Luck.
In general. You all right there?
Yeah, I had a little tuna in my pipe.
Nothing.
That's
nothing
better than you. Pipe in the tuna.
I don't know what that means either. Do you, Paul?
No, but I'm afraid he's going to yell at me.
Also, just to keep an FYI, Jason Cole was here today chatting with Chad Ochocinco. They have a very tight relationship, so be on the lookout for some Chad Ochocinco quotes in a Jason Cole
Yahoo Sports
piece.
Yep.
Okay. Keep an eye out for that, Patriots fans.
Dave in Wisconsin writes, and I've written to the show once before but missed the podcast for the corresponding show, so I never found out if it was read. Anyway, I discovered you guys via the iPhone app at the beginning of the year when I started my job, which requires tons of traveling. Your show is the best travel entertainment I could ask for. Anyway, I think Andy said it best yesterday when he said, with this defense, anything's possible. I think those words not only encapsulate the entire season, but the remainder of the playoffs as well. Here in Wisconsin, all of my Packers fan friends say during Packers games, and you think your defense is bad? I was up until the last game able to respond with, yes, they are actually worse. You've talked about it before, but the difference in the two defenses come down to playmakers, and the Patriots do not have one player on defense that I would trust to make a play. I personally think Jerod Mayo was a huge bust, and I don't even mention the word value, or I may swerve off the road uncontrollably as we speak. Sure, his stats look great, but what linebacker's tackling stats don't look great? He can't rush the passer. He's mediocre at best in coverage. That's not what I want from my first-round linebacker. On the other hand, the Packers have Woodson, Matthews, Raji, and Williams. It's just depressing to think what this team could be with a defense that was even mildly crappy. Wow. These are the thoughts I'm having going into a playoff game facing Tim Tebow and the Broncos, the one team I was hoping the Patriots would face. I'm glad I stumbled upon you guys this year. Your pessimism is both refreshing and fair, especially after listening to Pete.
That's Andy in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, we had this talk this morning because Brian Morey came up from the hall.
I bowed out because Brian Morey came up from the hall.
Yeah, you know, I think as defenses go this year, I know the numbers say that they're 31, but, you know, they don't have a lot of Pro Bowl players, but they're not that bad. They're
Ooh.
Not. The Patriots defense.
Are you out of your mind?
They get it
mind?
Done. They get it done.
What do they get done?
They get it done.
What do they get done?
Winning games.
No, Tom Brady gets that done.
Robin in Alaska.
Is that what I missed in that office, that they get it done?
Yeah.
They're not that bad?
Yeah, so I figured what's the sense of even commenting on it?
Holy crapoli.
Robin in Alaska, I've been thinking about the Denver Post articles that Andy highlighted on the blog. Please correct me if I'm wrong, and guys might have touched on this yesterday, but I was busy with my kids. Anyway, aren't those articles close to, if not the definition of libel? Both articles' sole purpose is to insinuate wrongdoing and defame Coach Belichick. How can that go unchecked? Legal ass kicking should be lined up as surely as the Patriots are going to school the Broncos on Saturday. Actually, it doesn't. It wouldn't be. I mean, you can ask if someone's or think that someone's doing wrongdoing, but, you know, there's no libel involved there.
Speaking from someone who didn't really go back and read the Denver Post columns, what were the allegations of libel? What did they claim?
I mean, wrongdoing. Allegations of wrongdoing.
Right. So where's the basis
right.
of libel? I don't know. What did the story say that Belichick did?
Yeah, I think
that he didn't.
And I think both of them say that, you know, obviously, if it was illegal, the league would have stopped it, but it's not in the spirit of sportsmanship.
I don't think that's what Robin's talking about. He's talking about the snide little cheap shots. Now all they got to do is go get Steve Scarnecchia from Syracuse, and they can get the whole cheating gang back together, insinuating that they're going to be cheating again.
That's the way I thought, too.
Yeah.
Andy.
Well, they got. But here's the thing. They can get the whole cheating game back together. Hurts, and it's a cheap shot. But they got caught cheating.
No.
And paid the price for
isn't
it.
Isn't the insinuation you're getting them back together to cheat
it's
again?
It's certainly not libelous on something that's already happened.
Well, I don't really know.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying they're insinuating.
It's
you're
a cheap shot.
That it could happen
shot.
Again, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But it's something that already happened, so you can't sit there and say, that's libel. You did it.
I don't know what libel is, like, by the letter of the law. I mean,
it's if you make up something intentionally to defame somebody.
Well, the clear intention was to take cheap shots at the Patriots. There's no doubt that that's what those two stories
were
about.
Right. And I agree with that.
But I do think it's a little unfair, personally. Yes, they were proven guilty of a crime. So every guy that's ever done any crime, you just say, oh, he's getting ready to go kill somebody again, or he's getting ready to... I mean, that's a little unfair, right?
It might be unfair, but it's not libelous.
Okay. You know? I didn't really think it was... The only time I ever thought it was libelous, Fred, was that thing I sent to you, the Washington Post printed, that it was fact. Something they said was fact was proven wrong,
right.
Not fact. To me, that's just wrong.
And as a public figure, it's very hard to prove libel, but if you can prove that this cost you money, then you have a case.
Yeah, you can't prove that. This case. I mean, they're just, it's sports. Right. It's what happens in sports. Teams take shots at other teams and columnists and...
Mike in Cambridge says, hey, guys, I was wondering if you think McDaniel's return to the Patriots could mean that he might be Belichick's successor. Belichick had a similar run to McDaniel's in Denver when he was with the Browns, as he had too much power for a first-time coach and alienated both fans and media and was ultimately run out of town. Furthermore, Nick Caserio was McDaniel's college teammate at John Carroll University and are very good friends, and he just turned down the Colts job, so maybe Caserio could be GM after Belichick leaves, and McDaniels could be the head coach. Not saying it will happen. Just wanted your thoughts on the possibility. Love the show.
Anything's possible.
Makes sense.
Bill's getting older by the minute, and if he's going to continue to say, I'm not going to be Marv Levy, he's getting closer to Marv Levy, right? He's going to turn 60 this year, I believe. Isn't he 59 right now?
Sounds right.
So, I mean, you're getting closer. You're not there. You still kind of have 10 years to go. I think Levy was like 70.
Might have been even older, I think.
Well, when he came back, he finished coaching right around late 60s. So you still have some room. But all these things make sense circumstantially.
Yeah.
Which is what I said yesterday.
They line up.
Right.
They line
a lot of things
up.
line up that don't lead to anything.
Right.
It's not a terrible stretch to say that that could be the reasoning.
Now, I
will be very surprised if Bill is not
I don't think Robert Kraft would sign off on that, personally. That's just me. I don't see him signing off on this perfect little Bill Belichick put-together package. It's my team. If you're leaving, I'm going to make the decisions.
And just being...
Well, no, but if he's talked to Bill about it, wouldn't it be something to have that, you know, to be able to know, you know, what the plan is? You know, unlike so many of these teams that are scrambling.
If you like the plan.
Right.
I don't know whether he likes Caserio or likes McDaniels
Assuming that he does, it would be nice to have this all set up.
Sure. Now, do you think he would go for that?
Robert Kraft?
Just speculatively, what you know about him and whatever.
I think he likes to have control of his future. Yeah, absolutely.
No. I mean this future. The idea of McDaniels as head coach.
I have no idea. I mean, I don't know what his relationship was to McDaniels before he left.
After he left, after he jumped around and
I don't know what his relationship is to Caserio now. I don't know that. You know?
Whose relationship to Caserio?
Robert Kraft.
Oh. No, I don't.
Because at the end of the day, when Belichick leaves, those guys work for Robert Kraft.
Right.
You know, there's no more Bill Belichick.
Right.
So he's, like you said, has to be comfortable with all of this.
Right. And I don't know that he would be or wouldn't be.
Right.
And I also say, I mean, just kind of being a little bit picky, but Josh McDaniels' tenure in Denver was far less successful than Bill's in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. And far shorter.
But that's why. He burned out and burned so many bridges so quickly that they had to fire him in year two.
Well, and even had a scandal that
that's what I'm saying. Losing games is one thing. He was a disaster in every level. Now, Bill was a disaster. Bill's record was probably better than people think it was. He was eight games under 500. But he just alienated so many people in Cleveland, they couldn't stand him.
I would say Josh was worse.
Josh was worse.
And certainly
in a shorter amount of time.
Because he got more bad things done in a year and a half than Bill did in 5 years.
Yeah. The other side of that Mr. Kraft might be looking at is he knows Josh very well from his time here.
Mm-hmm.
And he might say, you know, this is a guy, I think he has the faculties. I think he has the things and the traits. Mr. Kraft could be looking at him and say, I think he could be a good head coach. And much like Bill, it took him, a trial and error. It took him a turn, and now I think the next time he'll handle it better. Do I think that's in place right now? No.
I don't. Either.
I think, as you said, Andy, and I, you know, we mentioned yesterday, it's circumstantial. But I would be very, very surprised if Bill's done coaching, first and foremost, and I'd be even more surprised if he were done coaching that Mr. Kraft had decided that McDaniels is the guy now.
Right.
Now, maybe next year, if you know, he might say, you know what, this McDaniels guy, I think he does have what it takes. I don't think he has that in his mind right now.
And it gives you a year to feel that out. I'm not sure the first time around how much Robert was thinking, I got to talk to McDaniels, could he be my next head coach? If he's here now, maybe you have those conversations and say, okay, maybe he does have what it takes to be the big guy.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back from the break, on the phone, we'll have Mike Kliss from the Denver Post.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't
it? Right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Mmm, these Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. We're talking all Patriots, Josh McDaniels. The web email address is webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. And right now we're joined by Mike Kliss from the Denver Post. Hey, Mike, thanks for taking the time.
Sure, I'm just driving behind a cavalry of snowplow trucks here in downtown Denver.
So you guys are getting snow?
Yeah, we got a couple inches of snow here. Well, the problem is the problem is the ice underneath it.
Oh, I see. All right, well, Mike, you're talking to Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, and Paul Perillo from Patriots Football Weekly. And, you know, just in case our listeners don't know, and I'm sure they do, you were critical of the Patriots' move to sign Josh McDaniels from the Rams. Tell our listeners why.
Well, I think it's kind of the equivalent of, you know, you're bringing in a ringer for the playoffs. It's now, no one around here thinks Josh McDaniels is a ringer. In fact, you know, since the NFL, I just think it's a dangerous precedent. In my view, what makes it different, people get fired all the time, out of their contracts all the time during the season, and they get rehired by other teams during the season. What I think makes this case unusual and something that is, I think, wrong and a reason why the competition committee might look at it is, this is still Josh had completed his 2011 season. He had finished. He'd done all he could in 2011. He was with the Rams. The Rams were completed, and after that, they let their coaches go. The only people who are allowed to keep playing in 2011 are those good enough to make the playoffs. Josh wasn't part of the team that made the playoffs, and so therefore, I don't think he should be allowed to start coaching and giving away intelligence specifically for the playoffs. I mean, in my view, I think he should wait till after the playoffs, just because it gives the Patriots a competitive advantage.
So
just to
clarify, you think if he had been fired in December, then he could have joined the Patriots, but because he completed the season, that's the major difference you have.
Right. That's where I'm at. He did all he could in 2011. He's done. Now you shouldn't be able to jump to another team while this playoff run is going on. And let's face it. I mean, we kind of chuckle at it a little bit because it's so Belichick. You know, he's brilliant. And he finds his loopholes, and he catches the NFL sucking their thumbs all the time. And so I think at least the spirit of fair play has been violated here. Not that that matters any in the NFL, or I understand how cutthroat the business is, but I would think that this would be an issue that they at least discuss with the competition committee after this.
But don't you think this is the perfect storm situation, that this would happen so rarely that a coach that one team wants would become available, would be able to join another team? I just think the situation would police itself. You know, you threw out there, maybe Tony Sparano should join the Broncos. Well, Tony Sparano doesn't want to be a rent-a-coach. He wants to get a job like he does with the Jets, where he thinks he can be long-term. So I just think this is a perfect storm situation that you'll probably never see again.
Yeah, because O'Brien left and
Josh
replaced him.
The comfort level with McDaniels and Brady and Belichick and everything, and maybe McDaniels knowing he doesn't have a lot of other good job opportunities out there because he fell on his face a couple times.
And I think, Mike, the other thing that I've been talking about is in the NFL, you probably know this, these coaches. Now, I know McDaniels has money in the bank, but most of these assistant coaches have no rights. They have no union. They're not allowed to have a union. Larry Cannon, who, you know, is always fighting for more rights for these coaches, you know, would agree that, you know, the last thing we want to do is start limiting these guys' ability to make a move if there's an opportunity there because of some rule. Now, I know McDaniels is a little bit different because he had a year owed to him by the Rams. But, you know, again, it becomes a slippery slope then if you start saying, well, this guy can move, but this guy can't, you know.
Right.
So I don't know if you agree or not, but that's
well, yeah. No, ultimately, to be honest, guys, ultimately, I've heard all the arguments why he should be allowed, and that's fine too. I think from the Broncos' point of view, they probably didn't like it at first, and now they're saying, I dug this out, you know, Josh McDaniels coach teams are 7-32 since November 1st, 2009. So if he's got a tip, I hope Bill Belichick does listen.
Right. Well, that was kind of fun. We were laughing at that too because there was all this. You know, well, how could they do this? But then, you know, everything Josh does is bad. So maybe you should be asking the Patriots to take him.
The other thing that I think, and you talk about the perfect storm, what I think kind of charged up this issue a little bit is he's the guy that drafted Demaryius Thomas and Tim Tebow in the first round. It was like his parting gift to the Broncos. He drafted him in the first round of the 2010 draft, and you guys saw the playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, yeah.
Who were the, hero number one and hero number 1A in the Steelers game. It was Demaryius Thomas and Tim Tebow. And Josh was responsible for bringing them. Now here he is on the other side. And I think that has, combining all these things is what's made this probably a bigger story than it than it is as far as how much of an impact it's going to have on the game.
And, Mike, I wanted to ask you, obviously you've written about this a couple times, and I know Woody Page wrote about it, but is it resonating with Broncos fans? Is the fan base worked up over the fact that McDaniels is in New England, or is this more kind of an analytical story from a writer's perspective?
Well, it's one of those stories where, hey, how can that be legal when it first happens? And then after that, you know, you weigh in and you make your protest media-wise, I guess. Actually, the fans I've talked to, this guy, I don't know how to describe it, guys, but there has never been a more hated guy in Denver, Colorado sports.
Is that right?
It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
But, I mean, to know him the way we didn't know him really, really well, because obviously Belichick doesn't allow us to talk to the assistants that much. But we had just an impression of him that was pretty much a polar opposite. Now, evidently, he just went there and took over and had this, superiority complex or whatever you want to.
Napoleon.
I don't know, Napoleon with, you know, he's a small guy. I don't know what it was, but. You guys certainly did not get to see the guy that we got to see for, 4 or 5 years here.
Well, I did. As the beat writer, I did, and I think Josh is a good guy. The problem is, right away he had Jay Cutler. I mean, Josh McDaniels' first day on the job.
Yeah,
right.
Mistake.
And he calls Jay Cutler, and Cutler says, I'm not playing for you. I want to be traded. I want out of here. I mean, he was put up behind the eight ball, and Josh took the blame for it, and Josh should have been able to smooth. Josh was not mature enough and experienced enough to handle that crisis, and that blew up. Josh has got a lot of great characteristics as a head coach. I think he's got some flaws, though, that I wonder if he could ever overcome. And there's an emotional volatility to him. Like, for instance, he loved Tebow. And then he saw him play, and he hated it because he hated Orton. He didn't like Orton. And the next thing you know, he stopped working with Tebow, and he gave Orton a contract extension. I mean, he was really up and down. He would yell unnecessarily during the game. You can't be like that. You got to be Belichickian. That was the biggest difference between McDaniels and Belichick. I thought everyone says you got to try to be your own guy. I don't think he was anything like Belichick.
Yeah.
And I just, as a leader of men, I question what it was. It was such a fast sinking ship here when things went bad. I mean, they were 6-0 and then boom, that was it. They were done. Everyone jumped off the ship, Josh was, steering. So I just question whether he can be the top leader of men. I think his looks, the fact that he looks 22 and he yells and screams, I just think that's tough to sell that type of discipline in the NFL.
No, and we, you know, when he left, we said this could be too much too fast for him. I think it played out. And, you know, maybe now if he gets a second chance at some point to be a head coach, he'll learn. So we're done with that topic. One thing before we let you go, Mike, and we really appreciate it. Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
As you know, you've been there for a while. You were there before Tim Tebow, and you know you were there with John Elway.
Do you only count your time after Tim?
Well, I tell you what. About 4 weeks ago, the Denver Post told me I'm writing a book about Tebow this year.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I'll guarantee you. I go to bed thinking about Tebow. I get up in the middle of the morning for whatever reason, and Tebow's on my mind. He's all consuming right now for me. It has been I think it's been a great story though. As a writer, you root for stories. You can make the case that Tebow's one of the biggest stories in all of sports.
Well, there's no doubt right
in
now.
In the last 10, 15 years. I don't know how to put it in that type of perspective, but he's huge. There's no doubt about it.
But as an objective journalist, are you? What do you think of him as a football player?
As a quarterback?
As a quarterback.
Well, I have been saying this. There are two ways to. There are, people look at Tebow in two ways, and there are two ways to look at him. You can look at him as a passer, and you find flaws, and you see this guy that's unrefined. or you can look at him as a champion. And I think, in my opinion, the experts, the NFL, ex-NFL players, present NFL players, looking at him too much of a passer, and they're overlooking the fact that this guy's a champion. And I'll give you an example. Sam Bradford, number one pick in the same draft that Tebow was number 25. And everyone agrees, if you put those two together and had a little combine, 32 teams out of 32 would take Sam Bradford. But if Tebow was on the St. Louis Rams this year, and I'll bet you Josh McDaniels would agree with this. He might not say it publicly, but he would agree. If Tim Tebow were quarterback in the Rams, I promise you guys, they would have been a lot better than 2-14. I don't know how to describe it, and it's not a fluke. The problem is people look at the way he passes and think it's fluky that he won these games.
But in that,
it's not
in that,
a fluke.
I just look at the amount of points they score and win.
But regardless of all that, and I'm going to come right out and say it. I'm not a Tim Tebow fan. I just want to be upfront.
Okay.
I don't care for him.
That's fine.
Be my quarterback. But I get the whole he's a winner, except he got into the postseason by losing three straight and backing his way in and having his worst game trying to get in the postseason. I don't know how you kind of compare those two things when you say he's a winner and they would have been better, but they backed into the postseason.
Well, except for, and that's true, there's no doubt about that, except for he's 8-4 overall. And what people are forgetting, people think Tebow started 0-0 this year. Or, he inherited this team that was almost an expansion team that was getting a clean slate. This team was 4-12 last year, guys. The year before that, they finished 2-8. And again, I'm going over that 7-32 stretch of Josh McDaniels. But then they started this year 1-4. Now, I don't know what 1-4, 4-12, and 2-8 add up to off the top of my head, but this was a really, really, really bad team that would have finished, had Kyle Orton, who everyone thinks is a better passer and a better quarterback, they would have finished 4-12 this year had Kyle Orton been the quarterback. Tim Tebow, in my opinion, they only made one change. And you have to be around Tebow and see every play and see how he infects the whole team in a positive way to see the energy. The defense, a lot of people give credit to the defense. The defense stunk till Tebow was the quarterback.
Well, weren't there injuries, though, early in the year for the Denver Broncos on defense?
There were. There were DJ Williams, but all those guys came back, and all those guys were back, and they gave up 49 to the Packers.
Okay.
I know it's 49 to the Packers.
Right, right.
But they weren't, I'm telling you guys, the biggest reason, in my opinion, there's two reasons why the defense is better for the Broncos this year. One is Elvis Dumervil and Von Miller, neither of whom played for the Broncos last year. Miller was at Texas A&M, and Dumervil was hurt. But the other reason, and maybe the bigger reason, is the style of play on offense. And I've been saying this all week. The Broncos got a huge mismatch problem with the Patriots. Their strength in coverage is Champ Bailey and Andre Goodman on the corners. Well, the Patriots don't throw to their receivers. They throw to their tight ends, and they throw to Wes Welker, the slot guy. And Champ Bailey and Andre Goodman don't cover slot guys or tight ends. So you got undrafted rookies against the Patriots. That's why it's such a huge mismatch. They matched up well with the Steelers and their aggressive blitzing because that plays into Tebow's hands.
Yeah.
The Patriots, it's a mismatch problem. The only way the Broncos can stop Brady, Welker, Aaron Hernandez, and Rob Gronkowski is with Tim Tebow and Willis McGahee.
Right.
And that has been a biggest factor on the defensive improvement this year is the fact that the Broncos with Tebow have become the NFL number one rushing team by a wide margin, which says something when you look at the Houston Texans' stats.
All right, Mike, we really one more question though. I have back to one more question to McDaniels. If
you got it,
if the
Go
shoe
ahead.
Was
I
on,
love talking.
If the shoe was on the exact opposite foot, would you be critical of the Denver Broncos for not taking advantage of this opportunity and signing a guy if he was available? So I'm saying.
Probably so.
Okay.
If it was legal.
Right.
If it was legal.
And you're not saying anything that the Patriots did was illegal, right?
You're telling me there's a spot on PFW in progress with Mike Kliss.
Right.
This is bigger. I'm saying this is a Roger Goodell issue. This isn't a Patriots issue.
Right. Okay. That's fair.
You know, Belichick, he's smarter than the system. That's why he's 12-4 every year for, what is it, 11 years now?
Something 11 like
years,
that.
He's averaged 12-4. Yep. I mean,
something
I,
like that.
And
fifth,
by the way, guys,
time?
Read some of the columns I've written about Belichick. I'm fascinated by the guy. In today's day and age, the fact that he's 12-4, an average of 12-4 for 11 years, I mean, this guy is the best coach of all time. All he needs is another Super Bowl or two to, you know, and he's up there with Lombardi as the best of all time.
Maybe he'll write the foreword for your Tebow book because he loves Tebow.
Yeah.
He does love Tebow. he loves me some Tebow.
I'll ask Bill. And
I wouldn't send him the columns you've written on the McDaniels topic, though. It's kind of, you know,
you might want to keep that cheating part out.
I think he might laugh.
I don't know.
Yeah, he doesn't laugh.
Ask Tom
so you know.
Jackson how if he's still laughing. All right, Mike, watch out for that ice.
I got you guys. Thanks
okay,
a lot.
Thanks for taking the time. Right.
Thanks, Michael.
All right.
Mike Kliss from the Denver Post. It's hard to get mad at a guy like that.
No, and that's what I said going in. I said if he was Vito Stellino jerky, I was going to attack him. But
right.
He wasn't.
Yeah.
He was professional. He kind of acknowledged all the points, and I thought he was good. Now, I just want to, at the very beginning.
Yes.
He says, it's not the snow, it's the ice underneath. And you say, I see. Was that a joke or no?
No, I see.
I know, but it sounded like you said icy, and you giggled to yourself.
Oh.
You didn't even, that wasn't.
I didn't pick
I don't
up
even
on
know
it.
My own puns.
Usually
Kevin,
when you know them, they're not good.
Do we have Mike for the pregame show this week? No, he couldn't do it?
He's too good?
Well, you got him now. You can just replay that.
Didn't want to double book either.
What?
Try not to double book guests.
So who do you have?
Nobody.
Jeff Legwald.
Who?
Jeff Legwald, Denver Post.
Okay, so another Post guy. I got a feeling that, you know, and I was thinking about bringing this up, but I didn't want to.
Kliss?
I got a feeling that these Denver Post guys are real homers. Like they.
He didn't really seem it.
No, but I think that they, you know, like the whole thing with Tebow, he's bought in, right?
Well, I would have bought in, too, if I were writing a book. I mean, if you
and
made
Mike,
me write
Mike
a
Felger
book.
Mike Felger feels exactly the same way. He
no,
thinks
I know.
The defense plays better because of Tebow.
No, I mean, I get
there's
it.
There's people that have bought, if you're pro Tebow, you've bought into that.
But I think Denver.
But I also don't think you can write a book on Tebow in this year unless you bought in.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of have to sell yourself on it to write the book the way it should be written.
Yeah, like Vic Carucci did that. He wrote a lot of books with players. He wrote one with Fred Smirlis and the guy from the Raiders. He wrote his book,
yeah.
Conrad Dobler's book, and Jim Kelly's book. You know, so you do kind of cross the line as a journalist. You're covering a team, but you get to know a guy, you know, personally to be able to write a book to him. It's hard to criticize him
and
once
even more
that happens.
So with Tebow. If everything everyone says is you spend a half hour with him and you're a better person because of it, obviously you're going to be up his jock.
Right.
The one thing I disagree, and it was a little picky, but so I didn't want to really get into it. But he kept saying, "I think it's something that the NFL they need to close this loophole." And I think when you use that term, I think that because I think even he admitted that there wasn't really a whole lot wrong with what they're doing. And I thought the way you presented it, Andy. So if you got fired in December, it'd be okay.
Right, literally,
it was
like
a week earlier, it would have been okay.
Fine. What?
So really, you don't have a problem with the competitive advantage part of it. I don't think it's a loophole. Like
I don't think either.
Like I don't think it's a rule that if you do it this certain way, you can get around this rule. That to me is a loophole. A loophole is getting around something. A loophole is intentionally doing something you know they don't want you to do, but I found a way to do it legally.
Right.
I don't think that's what this is. And the fact that it's happened more than you thought when you start doing some research on this tells you it's not something the NFL is overly concerned about.
And I think
it just happened in 2009 with Dallas.
The only way you could possibly police it is create some sort of a waiver system. Like McDaniels would have had
coaching?
To have cleared coaching waivers.
If any other team was interested in
his contract.
Then, yeah. I don't listen. I think that,
but I don't think he can
all
do that
because
they're not collectively bargained.
All the things that
employees.
We've said. All the things that we've said. Andy, you brought up yesterday the perfect storm of circumstances that needed to happen for this to take place. It was a team that wanted him and that he, you know that was available. Blah 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 blah. All that.
They had a need.
I just don't.
He
think,
wants to go
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. To an offensive coordinator who's leaving.
Right. Right.
You know, all those things could have happened. If Bill O'Brien wasn't leaving, I don't think they would have signed him.
Right.
Right.
If Bill O'Brien
if
was not taking any job,
that's right.
I don't think that we would have signed him, even available,
but
even knowing he can help us now.
If he thought he could get a better job, he wouldn't have come back. I don't think. I think if he thought there was a better position, he wouldn't have come back. I think he thinks is the best place for him.
Right.
But, yeah.
And
like,
shouldn't a guy be able to do that? I mean, this is his living,
right?
You know?
So I take a little bit of it. You know, like I said, it's a little bit picky. I take a little exception to the term loophole. Because I think when you use that term, you're insinuating, I know this is wrong,
right,
but I'm going to figure out a way to get around
right.
this.
Right, and that you're
and
right,
I don't think
Paul.
There's anything wrong.
It's an incorrect usage of that. And look, he admitted it. He'd be critical if the Broncos had the same opportunity. They didn't do it.
I love this guy because he's just like us.
Yeah.
He can explain, you know, this was something. First of all, I think his original blog post, and Andy also made this point yesterday. Give him credit. He did it on Saturday before the Broncos won the game, before it affected his team.
And he probably didn't think the Broncos were going to win.
He probably didn't think they had a sniff.
Right.
You know, because Eric was the only one who thought they had a chance to win. You know, whatever. I still insist that he didn't think they were going to win. He likes the Broncos.
I think he's bought in, Paul.
He likes God.
I think he has faith.
He's on the squad of God.
And you know, that whole, I just, the whole thing to me, I give Mike credit because I don't think he really took it to be as seriously as a lot of people have.
Right.
I think it was just one of those, it was a blog post.
And
he threw it out there.
Well, who was
this ain't right. Why? Well, I don't know.
Tony Maserati was talking about it yesterday, and he goes, God knows I know what it's like when you got to come up with that column. You know, you got to come up with a fresh idea. Something like this falls in your lap. All right, I'll take this stance and I'll write a column on it. You know
what I wanted to ask him, and I didn't really think it was appropriate. We had time, but who's the second most hated man in Denver sports? I need a comparison.
That'd be interesting.
The most hated man in Denver?
Well,
Colorado.
Al Davis is the
sports
second,
history.
But I know.
No, I mean like.
How about that, huh?
Internally.
Yeah.
Who's the, like Bill Buckner would be an option here or somebody. Who's that guy in Denver?
I'd have to think about that. I mean, they didn't like Dan Reeves. Dan Reeves, they felt that he stifled John Elway. And, you know, they went at it. And if it hadn't been for Reeves, Elway would have won a Super Bowl earlier. So Dan Reeves wasn't exactly loved.
Don't say that kind of stuff around here.
You know,
we have certain members
of the PR
department.
I don't know why he's not in the Hall of Fame.
We have a coworker who is a
big Dan
strident
Reeves fan.
Dan Reeves supporter. Alex at Edmonton writes in, all right, boys, it's time to embrace the hate in 08 or 12. We're going to be hated by America and, in my case, Canada from here on out. First, we have to defeat God. And then, I'm sure, as Eric would attest, to the handsome John Harbaugh. Probably after that, the little man Breeze or the cocksure Aaron Rodgers. The Patriots will be hated in every game.
He is a cocksure.
And, Fred, we've got to bring the hate into Saturday with a chip on our shoulder. Plus, our defense is going to get thrashed. Just listening to yesterday's show at work and had to take out my headphones for 5 minutes when I was speaking with a coworker. When I pop my headphones back in, I hear, I like the ones that lean on the counter and shave with a towel on the shoulder and their nuts and ass hanging out. This is why this is the only sports talk worthy of anyone's attention. Let's get after it on Saturday. I'll be lubed up as ever, as I'm not emotionally prepared to be out of these playoffs.
Yeah,
certainly not this week. I'm not emotionally prepared for that.
No.
I think you get about 53 guys and 10 coaches that would say the same.
So.
And Fred, too, obviously.
Yeah, I'm not emotionally prepared.
So this would hurt more than last year?
What's that?
This would hurt more than last year?
No. No. Losing to the Jets would be more hurtful than losing to the Broncos.
I can see the argument for that because the Jets are just the Jets.
But the Broncos
Jets
blow.
Are so much better than the Broncos.
I know, but you had beating them 40. You know, had beaten them 45-3. You're at home.
Isn't that the same as 41-23 on the road?
No, but it's the Broncos.
Yeah, they
stink. Can't play. They have a quarterback who can't throw, and you lose to them. Brady loses to Tebow.
I'll be disappointed and upset, but not like I was after losing to the Jets.
Because you're kind of a Broncos fan. A little bit of you.
I don't hate the Broncos, and I don't hate Tim Tebow.
I hate both.
See, right.
I don't hate.
Right. For you, it might be worse.
I don't.
You love the Jets.
I agree with you, Fred. I don't hate the Broncos. I hate Tim Tebow.
Right.
I do hate the Jets just because of, you know, a childhood of hating New York. Huh. But the Jets are so, I mean, I have to say it right. I mean, even though I hate them, the Jets were so much better than the Broncos.
Oh, absolutely.
To lose to this team at home in the playoffs, to me.
Yeah.
Is every bit as bad as
at least you can argue the Jets
year.
Beat you.
And they were,
I'm not sure you'll be able
good.
To argue the Broncos beat you this weekend. I think you'll argue we lost.
I could argue that they were a good team.
And they beat you. But even regardless of that, I find it hard to believe I'm going to be arguing Sunday that they actually beat you. I am going to be pointing to the mistakes you made that cost you the game. The interceptions, the this, the that, whatever. I don't think the Broncos can come in here and go blow for blow with their style, you know, not throw it, whatever they want to do. I don't think they can go blow for blow and beat the
I mean,
the
only – what if their defense just has a game for the ages and the Patriots lose 21-17?
I mean, I guess.
I think if that happens.
Even that, I'll be ripping the offensive line. All year, you were great, and now you get to the playoffs, and you sucked it off.
It's one of those things. It's really hard. Excuse me while I get the banana out of the tailpipe. It's really hard to say hypothetically that game and not say, in order for them to lose 21-17, it's hard to imagine that it didn't involve at least a heavy amount of pressure on Brady or turnovers.
Yes.
Like, I can't imagine a clean game, no turnovers, one or two sacks, and you just only put 17 points on the board. I can't imagine that.
Well, so then in that case, you'd be blaming the offensive line?
I'd be blaming somebody for something. Maybe I'd be blaming, you know what I mean?
I'd be blaming somebody.
Hey, listen, maybe Tom had all day and he threw four picks. Right. I mean, maybe I'm blaming him. Maybe, you know, he threw three picks, but two of them hit his receivers in the chest and bounced up in the air. Or maybe, you know, they had three fumbles on running plays. I mean, I'd be blaming something that happened that caused them to only score 17 points. I can't imagine Denver doing what the Jets did last year and just coming out and forcing punts. Time after time after time. I can't imagine that happening.
Gene in Daytona says, finally, we find someone in Denver who thinks Josh is intelligent. Is that reporter trying to psych out his own team? Good job, buddy. Now we have a response to Tebow mania. It's Josh-o-mania. He has planted it in Tebow's head. I can't believe these Broncos fans, they want to tell people they fired where they can work. Are they for real? Well, that's and he even admitted that's kind of funny after you think about it, you know. It's like he hasn't done anything good. Why do we really care that much?
The McDaniels touch.
But they know. I mean, now that he's gone, you look back and you say, yeah, he was immature. He handled a lot of situations poorly, but he was in a tough situation.
I thought it was interesting
and he gave them the two guys that just won their playoff game.
I thought it was interesting the way he explained that Cutler thing. I hadn't heard that before.
What?
It was Cutler that called him and said, I want out. I thought it was the other way around.
No.
I thought McDaniels met him and decided that this isn't the guy for my offense.
You know what this was like, Paul?
Because McDaniels took the blame for it.
When the new, I forget which the manager came in for the Red Sox and Roger Clemens put in his headphones and wouldn't talk to him and
in
spring training. This is what it was like. This was Jay Cutler saying, oh no, you're coming.
I didn't know that sight unseen, he refused to play for Josh McDaniels.
Yep. The other stuff came after when Josh tried to maybe save it and then couldn't. And then Josh got his feathers ruffled and said, fine.
Right. It became a pissing match.
Yeah,
Cutler was
the first, I don't want to play for you.
Yeah. I thought it started with Josh thinking, this isn't the kind of guy that can run my offense.
No.
Which I, by the way, I believe. I don't think Cutler would be a good fit for the Patriots offense. As skilled as he is, I think he moves well. I think he has a great arm, obviously.
I just think he's a douche.
I don't think he has the aptitude for it. Let's put it that way.
John in South Carolina says, does Mike think it's okay for someone else to hire our player coach away from us during the playoffs? Can we hire new grounds crew? How about vendors? Can we add vendors or only keep the vendors that helped us get into the playoffs?
Can we end these?
Well, I mean, you know, it's just we just had the call. People want to weigh in.
No, I know, but if people want to weigh in, normal. I mean, the groundskeepers.
Paul doesn't like that.
Well, he's being sarcastic.
Right.
Paul doesn't get sarcasm, unless you write sarcastic.
Sorry.
Whatever his name is.
I'll stick to myself. Sorry.
Toussaint writes in.
The guy from the Michigan?
Or is it Toussaint?
The Michigan wide receiver?
No. He says, I'm a little pissed at you guys. I had a few nightmares last night. It's all because of yesterday's show where y'all came up with all these reasons why Belichick was retiring. You guys should be focused on the task at hand, and that's beating the Broncos. Bill Belichick has another 10 years of coaching left in him. Don't bring the word retirement associated with Bill again. And P.S., I think Eric is definitely picking the Broncos.
I don't think he is.
I don't think he is either.
We'll find out tomorrow during picks.
He doesn't have the testicular fortitude.
I just want to hear your version of the whole thing with him. I want to find out why he likes the Broncos so much, Fred. I'm waiting and waiting, and I can't wait for the last 10 minutes of the show tomorrow for you to, you know, pick that scab.
We have an issue tomorrow. Open locker rooms at 1:30.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So Eric, at the very least, will have to leave.
Maybe we should do picks first thing. There's only four games, right?
Why don't we do it at the top of the 1 o'clock hour?
Okay.
We'll reset.
Because Eric will go to practice and come in right at the top of the 12 o'clock hour. And give us a practice update,
live from the practice fields behind Gillette Stadium, then he can stay, he can do picks, and then he can leave at 1:30. And then you can rip him from about 1:15 to 1:30.
That's good news.
Sure. That's good news.
Open locker room, 1:30.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Dan and Harriet. Hey, Dan.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
So, a question. What exactly could you possibly learn about Tim Tebow and Demaryius Thomas that you didn't already know just by having Josh in here?
Minimal.
I mean, what could you possibly know? I mean, yeah, Tim Tebow is not that good of a quarterback, and if he was any better, Demaryius Thomas would torture defense.
Right. We talked about this yesterday.
That says it all, right?
There's nothing that you couldn't learn by watching this year's film that Josh is going to tell you.
The only thing is
maybe the tendencies of their current offensive coordinator.
I don't even think that, because I don't think Josh knows those.
Right. Because it's a totally different offense.
Right.
I think
right.
it's more skill set, like maybe a tell or something, a minor little fundamental thing.
I had someone email me today, if you think that that's meaningless, then go back and look at the Cleveland game last year with Mangini and Daboll did. And I don't think that's relevant at all. The Patriots system is very similar, if not the same, as it was when Mangini and Daboll were part of the Patriots staff.
Right.
This is a whole different system.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Another question. I don't understand why some people seem to think that, oh, the Texans will go in and beat Baltimore in Baltimore, but once they come here, it's all we're packing our bags for Indianapolis. I mean, look at what if the Texans do beat the Ravens, they basically play two teams that are comparable to them as far as defense and running the ball, and then they'd come into New England and play a team that can't play defense and won't run the ball.
No, hey, I agree. There's no gimmies. I think the Texans are a good team. They've managed to keep winning despite, you know, now on their third quarterback. They're for real. They are for real, you know, as evidenced by the Wilson Hart throw a dart index.
Suck it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, what if they torch Baltimore? I mean, how are you going to feel confident about that if they come in here after a game like that?
Well, people won't. Even though they're saying it now, they'll look at it differently if they watch that game.
I'll feel pretty confident.
See, I won't. But I won't feel less confident than I do feel now. I don't have a gimme for this team against anybody.
Yeah, no, Andy's been consistent with that. I think the teams that don't really have the wherewithal to put some points on the board are going to have a hard time here.
But what Dan is saying,
I don't eliminate Houston.
If Houston does, they did it against a good defense, Baltimore. If they put up some points, that's against Baltimore. Yeah. So that's for real.
I mean, yeah, you've got to lock down.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
What if Andre Johnson goes off?
Right,
it could happen.
Yeah,
got a good tight end. They can beat you a number of ways. They just need better quarterback play.
I told you guys.
Much different from Baltimore.
I told you guys at the top of the show. See, fans are worried.
Not about this game. He's talking about the next game already.
What? The next shoe to drop. The next shoe to drop.
He's talking about the next game.
I know.
He's talking about Houston, not Denver.
All right, Dan. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Nick in Tampa. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Fred.
Hello.
Hey, I mean, hearing all this McDaniel stuff, I just want to wonder, I mean, Randy Moss is a free agent. If somebody, say Ocho got hurt and we wanted to hire Randy Moss for the playoffs, nobody would be making a big deal out of it.
Right.
McDaniels finished his contract out, his season, and they decided to let him go.
Right.
I hear all these people, and it's pretty much, I just hear it as an excuse waiting to happen when the Broncos lose.
Right. I guess the fine point here is that McDaniels was under contract with a team and he wasn't out there as a coaching free agent. That's the only difference with what you're talking about. But I agree. It's not a loophole that the Patriots found. It's totally above board. And as Andy said, it was the perfect storm. This isn't going to happen again for another 20 years. You know?
What's funny is, like you said about Sperano going, he doesn't want to be a coach for hire or anything like that. Neither is McDaniels. This guy's going to take over as offensive coordinator, which is a position he held. So Andy's right. It's a perfect storm that probably will never happen again with these type of circumstances with O'Brien leaving and all that. But to hear all these people talk about it, it's like, if he was so bad when he was there and he can't help at all, I mean,
right.
How much is he really, you really think he's going to help a team that put 41 on you?
Yeah, this is, you know, truly a media creation, this whole thing.
Which is
good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're trying to sell papers. They're trying to, you know, have notoriety, whatever. That works for them.
Yep.
It helps us. We have something to talk about.
All right, Nick. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Nick.
All right. Let's go to Justin in Wilmington. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Now, is that Wilmington, Mass?
Wilmington, Mass.
Okay, great.
Represent.
Are you by the Rotary?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Real close.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little, you know, a little suburban Mass, you
right.
know. Hey, guys, I got a question. I've been, me and my father have been season ticket holders 14 years now, and, you know, we're always pretty loud and stuff, but what are you thinking? Saturday night, is it going to be crazy in there?
Well, you tell me. You're out in the stands. We're in the press box. You know.
Overall, I think it's pretty pathetic, Fred. I mean, I read your curse words every week, and, you know, you're always like, oh, the crowd's kind of crap, and, I tend to agree with you, but I mean, I have heard it get loud before, and I think we can do it. It's just, I don't have a lot of confidence. I don't know if it's the stadium, or I don't know if it's just the fans themselves, or...
Now, how long have you...
I just want to get you guys' opinion on that.
How long have you said you were a season ticket holder for?
14 years.
14 years. So you go back to the old stadium.
That's correct.
Do you think the old stadium was louder than the new one?
I think design was better in the, I mean, it was a piece of crap stadium, but, you know, I think that just something about that place was awesome. And it was just, you know, it was football to the core, and I think that's what, you know, some New England fans are.
Yeah.
It's like a new stadium, and it's just like, oh, you know, it looks gorgeous. He's done a great job with it, but I think, you know, sound just travels out of the White House end. And
well, I, you know, it's always been my contention, even with the new stadium. Yeah, it was more hardcore, you know, football. But I don't think it was any louder than this one. I criticized the old stadium. The only time I saw that, you know, maximum loud was in that 96 playoff run against Jacksonville and Pittsburgh.
Right.
You know, I just think New England fans are, you know, they're not the California ho-hum fans, but they're, you know, what have you done for me lately fans. They're not like Yahoo fans like Pittsburgh or Kansas City. They, you know, I think they... You know, they kind of wait to see, you know, what's going on before they go crazy, whereas in those other stadiums, they go crazy no matter what.
Because I really think it could be a big advantage for some teams, and I just don't see it that way for the Pats, but I don't know. I'm hoping so Saturday night.
Well, I am too. I mean, you know, can you help us out a little bit, as Rex Ryan would say?
If you could.
Absolutely,
if you could.
Yeah. You know, I agree with Waters on his little comment.
Yeah.
Well, he actually... changed his tune a little today, and I think he was just saying what he thought he should say. He said he expected it to be electric Saturday night.
Well, it should be. I mean, you know, there's a lot of hype around this game and stuff, and personally, I don't think it's going to be that difficult a one for the Patriots, but we'll see what happens.
So one final question before you go. If you could change something about the game, in-game experience as far as the game day presentation, music, intros, whatever, what would you like to add or take away or is there anything that you would do differently?
Oh, well, personally, I think it's a great experience overall. I mean, we go to basically every game, and it's a lot of fun. You know what I mean? We have a good time. I mean, obviously, the traffic getting out of it is a little bit of a pain, but not much we can do about that.
Unless you have a helicopter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that'd be nice. If Bob wants to give me a, you know, a quick ride, you know, sure. I'll gladly take it.
Oh, Bob now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're buddies.
Land the helicopter at
right.
the Rotary.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks,
guys.
Justin.
Justin.
Thanks,
from
Justin. Wilmington.
Justin from the Rotary. What Rotary?
There's one off of 128. I think it's actually North Reading, but it leads into Wilmington. So, Paul.
62. Route 62.
Route 62.
Yes. Famous Rotary.
Thanks. I don't know.
I believe you're correct, Fred. I think it's either 28 or 62. I can't remember.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting that Waters said electric today. Expect it to be Saturday night, the atmosphere.
Well, he knows what a home crowd can do.
And he ripped it
you're
last
good.
Week.
You're good,
so.
Though, Fred.
What?
you somehow put a happy face on everything. They're not the Yahoo fans. They just yell and make a lot of noise, you know, for no reason. They wait to see what's happening in the game.
That's
like
true.
You somehow criticize Kansas City for having this great crowd.
No, but that
gets into the game.
Because
they're Yahoos.
As a player, you want the Yahoo. You want the guys just going nuts.
Right.
You
and
know?
You want the crowd that has the little false start meter
right.
on the scoreboard in 1-2.
Right.
I mean, you certainly don't have that here.
Yeah. Let's see. Killian writes in, great job as always, guys. My question. I went back and listened to an old PFW from 2009 training camp, and Andy ranked the roster 1 to 83, and Andy ranked Welker at 10, saying that Welker only existed because of Moss and Brady. After this monster season from Welker, do you think Welker was just a product of the system because of Moss and Brady, or would you go as far as saying Welker was always this good and Moss was taking catches away from him? Personally, I don't think Welker gets enough credit. He's so reliable and just a great player.
He is a great player.
So you were
so now he's a product of the tight ends.
Wow.
I still think he's a product of Brady.
He's a good player.
And I don't think Monster catches away from him. Hasn't he caught fewer passes? Was this his career high in catches?
No. One less.
Well, one less. Okay. Yeah.
So 22 to
so Moss wasn't taking catches away from him.
Right.
Moss isn't here. Right. He caught the same amount of
passes.
He's
a good player. As I said, I don't think he's the guy like everybody, oh, he's going down the field this year. He's got a 99-yard touchdown. I think that kind of leveled itself out over the course of the season. He became a guy that catches the short and some intermediate passes out of the slot.
I think he's very good at what he does, obviously.
If I ranked the roster today, I'd go Brady, Gronkowski.
It's hard to not get Welker in there.
Mankins.
Wow. Offensive lineman.
Will Fork Welker.
I'd have Welker three.
He's a top five player now, not a top ten.
I'd have
player.
Welker
I've
three,
learned.
Fred.
I've learned. And longevity's part of what he does, too.
Very
you know,
impressive.
I said to Paul, remember the first year we had these
very
long
impressive.
Arguments, is he loose change, is he this, is he, and we joked, you know, if he has five more years of 100 catches, then we'll talk. Well, that's the direction he's going. That's what he's looking. I mean, the only reason he didn't have 100 yet last year is because he was a shell of himself.
Right.
Otherwise, that's a 100-catch season, and he's got 500-catch seasons.
Billy says something that reminds me.
O'Brien?
This is true. He says that Cutler wanted to be traded after he found out that the Broncos tried to trade him in a three-team deal, which would have landed Matt Cassel in Denver.
Yeah, see, sure. Now.
But
here's the thing.
Yeah.
Mike Kliss just said that he pointed out that Cutler wanted out.
Right. But see.
Not because of this trade.
Right.
I remember
that's,
what Kliss said is that
the trade might have
out.
Happened after McDaniels found out that Cutler was going to be a malcontent.
Based on what Mike Kliss just told us,
that's
I think
I
that's accurate.
He
right.
asked to be traded.
I thought.
Josh met with him. They kind of decided, okay, maybe we can smooth this over. He tried to trade him, and then Cutler said, no, forget it. Then.
I remembered it the way the emailer said.
Yeah, I
remember. But you guys remembered Mike's version, which is obviously the accurate one because Mike was there.
Right. Joel in Merrimack says, hello, men of PFW and Eric. I honestly don't see the Pats losing to the Broncos. Like the first game, I don't think they have the ability to stop our offense. Like the writer pointed out, they're not built to cover guys like Gronk and Hernandez and Welker, and Pittsburgh is not a high-scoring offense. But I blame the Steelers' loss on Tomlin. Why he would put worthless Burger in the Cleveland game is beyond me. And since we have Seabass back, that should really shore up the O-line. Zoe was postulating that the Pats will start off playing McCourty at safety. What do you guys think? Keep up the great show.
Sure. I have no idea where McCourty's going to be.
Well, yeah. Zoe seems to know.
Did Zoe already do a sit-down with Bill for All Access?
I don't think so.
Oh. Then I don't think Zoe has any idea. If he keeps saying that after he does a sit-down with Bill, I think maybe he heard something.
Yeah, I mean, he may have done it. I don't think he did because I think there's a little bit of a different schedule this week. But, listen, I think there's a very good chance that McCourty could be at safety. How do you say – I mean, how can you say that there wouldn't be?
Right.
But there's all – I mean, I'm certainly not going to raise an eyebrow if he's not and he's at corner.
John in South Carolina says about Mike – Kliss, no one should ever call you guys sunshine.com again. So the offense is what is making the defense better, not Doomerville and Von Miller? Wow. Andy's head must be about to explode. Can we get Vito on instead of this guy?
we actually talked about having Vito on.
The part of that to me that's flawed is he alluded to it. Von Miller wasn't there last year, and Elvis Doomerville wasn't there last year. Von Miller comes in as a rookie. Don't you think he would be better, say, week 4, week 5, week 6, week 7, than he was coming right out of the gate? Wouldn't you expect a rookie to get better?
Theoretically.
And Doomerville, certainly, coming off an injury, a serious injury, is going to take some time to get his feet back under him, and he's going to get better.
Right.
To give Tim Tebow the credit for that improvement, to me, is a real stretch.
Right.
Now, if you want to say the way they're playing offense... I can't even buy that because they're not possessing the ball.
Right.
You know, you could say, well, they're running for all these yards, so they're holding on to the ball. They're not scoring.
And they led the
they
NFL
have three
in rushing
outs.
And yet had a 28-minute time of possession average. When you lead the NFL in rushing, you're supposed to be like 35-minute time of possession.
They snapped,
32 minutes,
they snapped a streak on Sunday of 21 straight drives without a touchdown. 21 consecutive drives
that's
without a touchdown.
That's not quite, but it's almost three games worth, right?
So, I'm sorry.
Two games.
That's not helping the defense play better. I don't see how you can make an argument for that.
Yeah.
And listen, I don't know what to think about Tebow. I don't know where his future is going to be, but I can't imagine he's going to continue to put up 10 points a game and go 8-4. Because that's what he did. The 12 games, they've scored somewhere between 10 and 15 points, and they're 8-4. I just can't see you doing that in today's NFL.
You know, I think it's so funny. Tebow became the starter this year, and Denver Post has already told their columnists, you got to write a story about, you got to write a book about this guy. And there must be a clamor to cash in on this guy because you don't know when it's going to end.
Yep.
You know, and I bet you, I don't know what the other paper is, but they're probably trying to do the same thing.
I don't think they have another paper.
Oh, they don't?
Did they go out of business?
Rocky Mountain News is out.
I think it went out of business like 3 years
ago. No, they went digital, right? I thought they went online.
I don't know. Yeah. You might be right. There aren't a lot of two paper towns anymore.
No. Tony in Toronto, Mike Kliss is a moron. not even speaking as a Pats fan, just a fan of reason and logic. One. What difference does it make if McDaniels joins the Patriots in December or in January if Kliss's ultimate issue is the Pats gaining a competitive advantage? Two, the people of Denver apparently hate Josh and think he was a disaster, so the team fired him. He then went to St. Louis, so he didn't even go directly to the Patriots after Denver. So now they feel entitled to have something to say about where he coaches the rest of his career? Three, finally, 3 weeks ago the Patriots went to Denver, and kicked their asses all over the field, and magically McDaniels didn't work for them at that point. So now, when the Broncos are flying cross-country to play in Foxborough, Belichick is all of a sudden hiring a coach because he needs some insider knowledge on how best to beat the team he demolished not even a month ago. The air is very thin in Colorado. Ryan Clark isn't the only person who shouldn't be exerting himself up there. Good email.
I like it.
It's a good email.
That's kind of where I wanted to go with the interview, if he had been in any way argumentative and a jerk, but he was a nice guy who saw reason.
I like that. That was a good interview. I like that. I mean, email. I like that. That was good stuff.
Jamie from Scotland, do you guys think bringing back McDaniels could have anything to do with Belichick retiring? We talked about that. I know it's not likely, but I just wanted to throw the idea out there as a point of discussion. Also, does McDaniels bring anything to Bill the GM now that the Patriots have brought him back? Will he show the experience or less fear about standing up to Bill on offensive players, at least?
I'm going to say no.
Well, you can make the point that his two picks in Denver worked, so personnel might be in his future.
Yeah, but wasn't he here when they drafted Lawrence Maroney?
But he had no part of that.
I don't know, but he's not going to have a part now. He's asking, can he advise him? Can he be a voice?
I don't know.
Well, he was a voice when they
drafted. How do you know he's not going to have a part?
I'm assuming it's going to be similar, and he had a voice when they drafted Chad Jackson. He had a voice when they drafted.
Did he? I don't know. That was Pioli.
So wait a minute. You're saying that he didn't have a voice then, but he will now?
Maybe he does now.
No. And assistant coaches have voices.
He either had one then and doesn't have one now.
They all have voices. Pull. They all go out and do workouts. They all go out and scout players.
I swear.
They all talk. Dante Scarnecchia gets a voice. Dick Raybine drafted Tom Brady. He liked Tom Brady. Assistant coaches have a voice in the process. I'm not saying they make the pick. But his is going to be the same as ever.
They have evaluations.
And they struggled with offensive players that they drafted when he was here, so why is he going to fix it?
Nick in Maine says, I love the show, but can we please talk about the upcoming game and not possible coaching management staffing changes? That is for after we beat the Giants in the Super Bowl. I have some matchups that I would love to hear everyone's thoughts on in terms of consistently winning one-on-one battles. Here we go. Devin McCourty versus Demaryius Thomas.
Thomas.
And we also just talked about whether or not that's going to be a matchup.
Brandon,
I think that's in question.
Let me say Thomas. Well, this player, insert name here.
This email came in an hour ago. Just so you know.
No, but I'm just saying to add to that. Yeah. I'm not criticizing the email. It's a good one-on-one matchup, but it may not even be McCourty because he could be playing safety.
Feel free to insert any Patriot name there, and I'll say Thomas.
Yeah, but here's the bigger question: does it matter?
No,
I don't think
it does
either. Because I don't think it's going to only be one guy.
Probably not.
Brandon Spikes versus Willis McGahee.
I don't think that's a matchup.
Brandon Spikes versus Willis McGahee.
Spikes.
Mark Anderson versus Ryan Clady / Orlando Franklin.
/
And Gerard Mayo as a spy versus Tim Tebow. Gerard Mayo.
Yeah, I'll take Mayo, but I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah. This is such a unique offense, and I thought Bill kept using that word yesterday. Really no one else plays like this. I think that you can try to do all those kinds of things I just can't imagine they have as much problems as they did early on stopping the run. I think Andy's right about spikes. Not because of that guy, but Willis McGahee had 7 carries for 70 yards. Those were all traditional runs.
Mm-hmm.
Those weren't options. I can't see that happening again.
No, but if you're John Fox, and I'll read an email here, somebody about, on that subject, but if you're John Fox, in my mind, they didn't stop that yet. They right. haven't stopped. So I'm going out there, and I'm doing that again until they do.
Yeah, right. I agree, and I think they will. Vince was interesting, I thought, yesterday in talking about just being disciplined and not trying to do too much. I think they may have been guilty of that. Now, Andy and I talked a lot about Ninkovich in that game, and part of that was Ninkovich, the player, and part of that, I think, was scheme, what they were asking them to do, and they obviously changed the scheme, and things got a little better. I thought they did more attacking. I don't know, Andy, if you remember, but there's a lot of 4-3-3-4 talk. Mm-hmm. I think that was sort of lesser in terms of importance than it was. I thought they got upfield and disrupted some running plays later as the game went on. Maybe they one-gapped a little bit. I don't know. I'm not Fred Smirlis. I don't break the stuff down. I thought they got into the backfield a little bit.
Well, there was one where Tebow scored. I don't know if it was Fletcher had him in the backfield.
Ninkovich.
And he shrugged him off and scored.
Yeah, that's a different – that was a zone read play. That was – I'm just talking about the quarterback taking the ball, turning around, and handing it off to someone like every other team does.
Yep.
McGahee did that at will. They couldn't stop him.
I just missed when they stopped him at all because they had 90 yards in the final three quarters.
No,
85. Sorry,
that's
85.
That's 120-yard rushing.
He would run.
Yeah, when you give up 167 in the first quarter, that's better, but it's not stopping
he
anyone.
He would go up the middle, and there was literally no one there.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
I thought they got more aggressive as the game went on, you know, when they – started forcing the turnovers. They changed the way the game was played, and that helped them. It'll be interesting to see if they can do the same thing without the turnovers, if they can stop them before the game sort of turns.
I'll say the same thing for Denver is don't overthink this game. Go do what you do and then make your adjustments in game, but don't come into this game with any crazy things that you haven't tried or, you know, exotics or whatever. Just do what you do and see what happens for both teams. Paul writes in, I consider Fox to be a pretty good coach. Having recently played the Patriots, what adjustments would you expect him to make defending the Patriots? Who do they have to take away? Does it make a difference?
Well, that's where what Kliss was talking about. Just because they're normally your outside corners doesn't mean you have to use them on the outside. That's Mike Tomlin-like thinking. No, those guys line up out there.
I think you have to take Champ Bailey and put him on probably Hernandez.
Your best cover guy should be covering the best receivers on the other team.
You need to find a way to utilize Champ Bailey on someone other than Deion Branch or Chad Ochocinco.
Right.
I mean, you have to say, I can put my third corner on those guys and they won't kill me. They might catch some passes, but I can't waste Deion Branch on Chad Ochocinco. Champ Bailey on Chad Ochocinco.
Right.
I can't. And even if you want to say, okay, maybe Champ's, maybe he's not big enough, then give him some help. But you can't waste your best corner. You can't waste Goodman and Bailey on the outside.
Well, what if you
all game?
Yeah. No, I
because I think they doubled Welker last game and they sort of slowed him down, mm-hmm. but they couldn't stop Hernandez. So I don't know. They got to do something different. I understand what Mike is saying about the strength is their outside corners, outside the numbers, and that's not really where the Patriots want to throw the ball. But that Andy just said it perfectly. Well, I guess we're cooked then. Mike Tomlin, we are cover two. That's what we do. We stop the run, play cover two when he was in Minnesota. You can't do that. You got to do something different, and I would expect them to.
And they also need to show up pass rushing.
Yeah, they also need to get some pressure.
Yeah,
all of them, not just Dumervil, not just Patrick Buckley, Robert Ayers, everybody, get there.
Nick in Victoria says, first, I have to say you guys sound a lot more jacked up during the playoffs versus the regular season, which is great. Like all Pats fans, I can't wait for this Saturday. My question is, do you see this game unfolding in any other way than Broncos keeping the ball on the ground and trying to grind out the clock, thus keeping Tom off the field, and the Patriots keeping to what works and tearing up the middle of the field with Wes, Gronk, and Hernandez? In other words, no passes to 85, no deep balls to high top fade, which I can't wait to see with McDaniels next season. Yeah, I think I can see it going that way.
I would expect to see it that way.
Yeah, that's what they'll try. That's what both teams will try. We'll see what happens.
I wouldn't expect to see deep balls next season unless there's
another guy
other than 85 and 10,
right?
On the other side of them.
Blackman. He won't be, I'm just saying.
There was a great tweet about Blackman in
comparison to Dez Bryant that I saw this week that I meant to talk to you about. Now I forget what it said.
Why, is his mother a prostitute?
No, just he was like Dez Bryant without the drama or something like that.
David Stone writes in, first he compliments us, the Patriots, for being a team and all that stuff.
Thank you.
He finishes off by saying, while I look forward to watching the Patriots raise the Super Bowl trophy, and there is no doubt in my mind that that shall happen, I ask on behalf of myself and on behalf of millions of Americans, on behalf of, I dare say, all that is holy, crush and destroy, in a classy way, as you always do, Tim who? And the Denver Broncos. I am so sick of seeing and hearing the words Tim Tebow and the gesture known as Tebowing. While there are such talented players around the league who week after week do what they do best, yet all we hear about is this mediocre quarterback. While I consider myself spiritual as many do, I found it revolting how he makes a spectacle of his faith.
Yeah.
While I'm going to enjoy watching Tom Brady pick apart their defense, I really am going to enjoy watching your defense stop Tebow so we don't have to see him putting on his one knee show in the field. Dave is not actually a Patriots fan. he lives in Chicago, so he has to deal with the Bears.
Oh, but he's a Patriot.
But he's a Patriots fan. He just
says
they're going to win.
He admires the Patriots.
He said they're going to win the Super Bowl. I have no doubt.
Yeah.
He's a Patriot.
Another one of those fans that Fred thinks are doubting or fearful.
Yeah.
Or...
No.
Good no point. Doubt they're going to raise
point,
the Lombardi.
Andy. Well, as you always say, there's always outliers.
Of this, I have no point. I have no doubt.
As you say.
I just wanted to recap Chris Gasper was in the locker room yesterday, and he knelt down to tie his shoe, and somebody goes, oh, he's T-bowing. And he went off on a little rant. For thousands of years, it was called genuflecting, and now all of a sudden, one guy comes along and does one thing, it's called genuflecting.
And he was serious?
Sports serious,
wow.
Rant serious. I agree with
wow.
him.
Things never have their names changed, you know.
For one stupid guy who goes, can't throw the
football. That's how it happens.
But it shouldn't be after...
Look, 2,000 years from now, we'll be talking about this man named Tebow.
Who sucked.
No.
Sucked.
Who started a movement, you know?
For gay Christianity.
Oh, please.
I lost my train of thought. What was that email about?
All right, let me read this another email while you think.
I'm just looking at Twitter, and a lot of people are criticizing us for not talking about Shanahan. With Mike Kliss. He wrote all about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right. All those other points. The only point I brought up that I hadn't really heard about was the whole rights of coaches, you know, but he brought up the whole Shanahan move in 89.
And that's why I asked him if he felt differently about it if it happened during the regular season, and he said yes. Well, that's why he was okay with the Shanahan thing,
right.
the regular season.
But we're getting a lot of criticism for not bringing up Shanahan. He brought up Shanahan himself in the story.
Criticizing us? Megatron? The only reason I... Space 25?
Obviously, we're all very well aware of that.
George Rapp.
I didn't bring it up because he's brought it up, and it's been brought up to him in other forums, so I didn't feel like we had to go over that again. Right.
We had a little
Mike Kliss reports that Brian Dawkins is at practice. They said last week that they thought that was career ending. Do you remember that?
Well,
they said he wasn't going to be able to play, and they thought his career may be over.
Yeah, but I'm not sure they meant career ending. It's just because he's at the end of his career.
I don't think that's what they said.
Eric Decker is not. Everybody said out, and he's not as bad as they first reported.
Well, you know, I saw Fox opened up his press conference on Tuesday, I think, by saying it was a sprain.
Yeah. That's why in our paper, if you read PFW, I didn't write he was out. I said his status was unknown, although it didn't look good, because they said he had an MRI and it wasn't that bad.
If Dawkins comes back and he's relatively healthy, does that make a difference?
No.
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 No. He's an intelligent,
I think it would
heady
help.
Veteran.
But he's so slow.
Yeah.
I think it would help them because he's a guy who's been through playoff games and big spots. But
it's not like the Patriots are so fast.
Physical
offense.
Yeah, but Gronk and Hernandez are.
They're not fast.
But they're
really?
No.
Then why can no one run with them?
No, they can't tackle them. But they're not fast.
But Fred, and even I'll even say they're not the fastest people in the world.
Thank you.
But their passing offense is fast. The way the plays unfold is very quick and tough to defend.
Okay.
If you're right, if you get Gronk to run a 40, he probably just runs an average 4.85 or 4.9 or something. Generic.
Hell of a lot faster than Brian Dawkins is running 40, I'll tell you that.
Well, Brian Dawkins is 752.
He could have had
a career ending.
That's why he runs by every safety that tries to cover him.
TG and NJ says, no way Peyton joins the circus the New York Jets have become. I expect the Patriots to blow out the Broncos, but I won't be stunned if the Broncos win it. Still can't trust the Patriots' D.
Yep.
Forget the Tebow mania and the McDaniel trade angle, but think just how motivated McDaniels is to beat the Broncos. I can hear the Denver conspiracies now. McDaniels set this all up. He put his stooge in place so he could beat us. Will McDaniels be fist pumping outside the Broncos bus after the game if the Patriots win?
No. More importantly, will Fred have a problem with it?
I'd probably tell him to do it if I was Belichick. Go over there and hug some guys after we beat him.
I think it's going to be difficult to even cite Josh McDaniels.
I agree with that.
I think he's going to be up in the booth. Why Andy is so bad and then so good. Big Head, on yesterday's show, you were pumping up the ESPN Boston show. Fred read the quote in Andy's quick speak fashion. They got Teddy Bruschi. They got Mike Reese. What the heck, Andy? Why do you hate the team that employs you so much? Then you hit us with the Eric has been trying to get Kliss for a long time comment, and I'm back on board. Keep hating Andy. Keep bashing Tebow. Keep being negative about the Patriots. Keep busting Squidward's balls. We know you want to. I'll never switch over to the boring, predictable ESPN show. Do you guys think there is a chance Bill O'Brien leaves the Patriots before the postseason is over once McDaniels is in place?
No.
No. Because as Robert Kraft says, it helps his legacy to stay here.
I'm stopping with those. I don't know.
No, I'm saying no because he's on the record saying, how can I walk out on the Patriots and then preach commitment?
Right.
I know.
He can't possibly.
I read it.
Right.
I put that quote in the story. I saw that and
less than zero.
I don't know. Every time I think that, something happens.
Finally,
maybe they
say,
you know what, Bill? You've done a great job. Go. You need to go.
Fire him.
No, I don't mean fire him. They said, you know, we Josh is here. We can get by. Go. We're fine.
No, but Bill says, no, I'm going to stay. And they say, no, you're going to go. That's being pushed out, however you want to word it.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm not going to say
it's not happening.
No chance.
I'm not going to eliminate it.
TG also says, Tommy Curran is such a smart ass.
Yep.
Did you hear him at the end of the John Fox interview? He told Coach Fox to ask Tebow to make the weather nice for their flight out to Foxborough. Such the New England smart ass. Andy Hart would have been proud.
I think that's why Tom and I fight so much.
That was well done. Curran's thing was very subtle, quick.
Yep.
It was well done.
Unlike most of his stuff in Bill Belichick's press conferences.
Oh.
Whew. What?
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 What are we doing?
Wait, what?
I thought we were going to get a practice update.
Can we get
a practice update
from Eric?
You're going to wait another 10
minutes. We can. I'm just setting up.
Eric's here.
He's just
plugging in. He likes to plug in before he, gets settled.
No love at Patriots practice today.
Bro, brother love.
No love for the Patriots?
Brother
or
love?
Kyle Love?
No, brother love.
Was oh, yeah?
There?
Where's he?
I wish I knew. I don't know.
Not injury related?
Not injury related?
I don't know.
Illness.
Love. I don't know.
Well, were they in pads yesterday?
They were in full pads yesterday.
Okay, well.
They can only do one a week in the postseason.
Right.
So they were back in shells today.
So we've seen these guys get hurt through walkthroughs.
yes, we have.
But, yeah. So you put pads on and
that's not even a joke.
That increases the odds for a possible practice injury.
Yes, and due to a ridiculous, and you may have overheard me talking to someone in the PR department today about this.
Oh, I heard you bitching.
Policy by the NFL, there was no practice report yesterday on a day when they had practice on the week of a game.
I think that's ridiculous.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there was
yesterday,
no injury report or practice participation.
Now that you say that, I realize. Yeah,
on a day that they had practice, and this happened 2 weeks or three
yes.
weeks ago on the Christmas Eve
yep.
week game.
I don't
which
get...
was also on a Saturday. There was no Tuesday practice report, even though there was practice on a Tuesday, and there was an injury report on Friday, which was the walkthrough day. And as you correctly pointed out, there have been injuries on walkthroughs.
We need those.
We do need them around here. But seriously, there was no injury report yesterday. So I asked PR, what's the deal? And they said, it's the NFL rule about they have to treat this week like it's a Sunday game. I'm like, but it's not. It's a Saturday game. And I'm like, well, what about 2 weeks ago when everybody played on Saturday? And he was like, yeah, they still treated it like they were Sunday games. I'm like, so the league makes you put out an injury report on Friday when there's no practice.
Right.
It's just a walkthrough. You put out an injury report on who attended the walkthrough. And he's like, yeah, I know, it's asinine.
Makes? That's what they're going with?
What's that?
This, to me, smells like a loophole. That Bill Belichick said,
but no one puts it out on
Tuesday.
No,
I know. Well, I think most coaches are intelligent. I don't think, unlike Patriots fans, I don't think Bill's the only smart coach in the league. And if I read,
right.
I have to put 3 injury reports out, but I can do it on Friday.
Exactly.
Then I'm doing it on Friday.
If the loophole is you have to put 3 injury reports out and you put one on Tuesday anyway and you don't put one on Friday, reason.
Right, but
yeah.
I actually assumed in this case it would be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday because that's what had been
for the other Saturday game until Stacy yesterday said the injury report will be out at 4 o'clock.
Right.
Not sure when we'll get the Broncos because of the time.
Exactly.
He said that yesterday about yesterday?
Yes, he did. That's why.
Yes, he did.
I have my doubts as to it's a league mandated thing.
Oh, well, I wasn't talking to that member of the PR department about it. I was talking to another one.
Dan Reeves.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
But, oh, you missed it.
We'll tell you later. It's a funny story, though.
So that's it. Only Kyle Love?
Only Kyle Love. And
Black jerseys? Who they been?
No, because they didn't play anybody last week. It's the same black jerseys from the week before.
So they won't get any next week either, because Paul doesn't think they're playing anybody this week.
Double bye.
Tried to look at Mankins and Vollmer again. Kind of the same as yesterday.
Big and Steve.
Not quite 100%, but they're out there. They're participating, so that's
better
encouraging.
Than not
better than not being out there.
Yep.
So hopefully, I don't feel as confident making this projection for Patriots fans, but there should be a practice report at 4 o'clock.
We would hope.
Not at 4 o'clock.
I think
there'll be one sometime.
Well, there'll be one at some point.
Here's the rule. If the Patriots PR department is serving Papagino's pizza, there should be a practice report. And we had Papagino's pizza yesterday.
We sure did.
And I had diarrhea last night.
So,
yeah, it's
like clockwork.
The entire
Paul show you that video of the reporter? Did you show?
I didn't. No.
Oh,
have you had diarrhea?
In the middle of an interview, she had to release herself.
She grabbed your stomach, and all of a sudden she went. Really? And then she walked
some
off.
Reporter
and she had white
France,
pants on.
It, or I think it was France because they were speaking.
Remember
French,
Uta Pipic?
Whoa,
that's a little different.
She was running
a marathon than a reporter. I mean, you have a bathroom nearby. Take care of it first.
But you can tell.
These things come on.
Came out of
Believe
nowhere.
Believe me, I know. But I've held it before.
You could tell she touched her stomach at the beginning of the interview and was kind of like,
and
you could see on her face, like she was like uncomfortable. And all of a sudden she was like,
A man's muscles are probably stronger and have a better job at, you know, retaining than a woman.
Oh my God.
Yep, you're right. Let's getting back to some football. I did want to – Matt Light had the quote of the day. Describing what – because Nate – first, Brian Waters said Nate Solder is as good as any young player he's ever been around, thinks he can be great. And they asked Light about him, and he said, Solder, he's such a great athlete, and he's so big. He's 6'100", I think. That might be my quote of the week.
I just thought it was funny that everybody in this building said yesterday was Wednesday.
Yes.
Right? You couldn't find anyway. This is Wednesday.
Right.
It's Wednesday.
Yep.
They had all the
phone conferences yesterday.
It's Wednesday.
Right?
Correct.
And then
Tom Brady talked.
Injury reports come out on Wednesday.
Well, yep.
If you get the pizza, get the practice report.
But worse so, the PR guy said injury report will be at 4. And then it wasn't out at 4 until the next day.
At 4.
Which is even.
I'm not going to.
William Shatner?
And the NFL is actually.
I'm not going to focus on that part of it.
The NFL is actually contradicting themselves because when you have a Monday night game.
Yeah.
You don't have to put out a practice report on Wednesday.
Right.
They slide it to go Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
The geniuses at the front office.
Geniuses in the league. Yeah.
Right.
The shield.
25 seconds after this breaking news on Twitter.
What's that?
At Jumbo Hard had diarrhea last night, #Patriots.
I did.
That's good.
It was actually at my mother-in-law's house. I read a couple catalogs while I was in the bathroom.
Good housekeeping?
Jumbo Hard.
No, catalogs. One was Lillian Vernon, I think.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
That's like an old lady
catalog. Yeah, junk.
Tchotchkes. Oh, yeah, all kinds of
tchotchkes.
Now, after you read them, did you use them to...
No. God, I would tear myself up. I only use Angel Soft. I've made her put Angel Soft in her house.
You made your mother-in-law put...
Yeah, I'm a one-toilet paper man.
You need a fire hose after you're done.
He's a monogamist when it comes to...
a bidet.
Not to shoot myself in the face like Chris Ferreira did, but, you know, my butt.
Aaron.
To be fair to him, he did shoot himself in the
face. Fighting back,
fighting back
the one-liners, shooting
himself
in the face.
I'm going to get one of those fancy ones that's just a normal toilet seat but has the little swing arm that comes out and squirts you.
Yeah.
I'll get one of those.
How about the guy that just went on Patriots.com and says, live radio, clicks on it just now. Aaron writes in.
If he doesn't stay, then he has no sense of humor or taste.
You guys have been doing a good job today. Andy, too.
Your mother does a good job too.
You didn't just let it go.
You didn't disappoint. I was just going to ask you if you were going to take that, but no, he wasn't.
I'll tell you who takes it. His mother.
In regards to the crowd noise at Gillette, did today's earlier caller say that he's a season ticket holder who always reads curse words and is wondering why you criticize the crowd?
Yeah, that.
What the hell is he doing reading curse words in the stadium? Take your iPad, shove it up your ass, and start making some noise.
I don't think he said that he was wondering why you always criticize the crowd. He was saying that the crowd was bad.
Yeah. No, I think the issue is, when does he read curse words?
Yeah. Right.
My
guess
is
my guess on his phone.
Yeah, and my guess he reads it after.
Oh. Well, I hope he reads it after, not
real,
on his phone.
Can I interrupt you
quick?
Well,
I'm not done with his email. Go ahead.
He asked if he could interrupt.
He knows you're not done. I got a retweet from one of our followers saying Kyle Love's girlfriend, well, Love Lady, I think it's his wife now. I think they're married. But
Love Lady.
Tweeted to pray for him.
What?
I don't know. That's the information I'm getting from a not entirely reliable source on Twitter.
Did he maybe get hurt yesterday?
That's
at practice?
Not good.
Sorry, Mikey Vandalism.
That's not good.
Even if he got hurt, I'm not sure that's a pray-worthy thing.
Oh,
pray?
Maybe was she tweeting Tebow?
If he hurt his knee, I could see a wife or
no,
girlfriend.
No, but I mean major.
I could see that.
Yeah.
That's a major injury.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
I'm just saying if he banged up his shoulder and couldn't practice it, I don't think it's a big deal. If he blew out his ACL, MCL, and PCL, then yeah, pray for him. I think pray is safe.
And he's now telling
things.
People when to pray.
If Tim Tebow can do it, why can't I?
I mean, I just think that
maybe because you're a heathen.
I thought I was a deist. Now I'm a heathen. I don't know what I am anymore.
I'm not suggesting that this is what happened, but I could certainly see if he tore his ACL at practice yesterday.
Yeah.
That a wife or a girlfriend would tweet out, you know, pray for him. I could see that.
So that's not good. Although.
It doesn't mean that he has an injury. Doesn't mean he could be sick.
Right.
Yeah. And maybe she's saying, could be. We want to make sure he gets well for the game. It could be something as minor as that.
Or maybe he's going for his driving test. You know, he doesn't have his license, and he's,
he did get pulled over earlier. So wasn't that him that live tweeted him getting pulled over?
And these preoccupied, it's these preoccupied fans that are the problem with fan noise. Shut off your phones. Leave your wives at Davio's. Don't bring your kids and make some friggin' ruckus in the stands. This is the playoffs. Explain the game of football to your kids and wives during the preseason. I actually endorse the use of a catheter to cut down on the pee breaks. Cut to Paul nodding in agreement.
No, disgusted.
That's disgusting.
We need noise, not nausea. Multimedia geeks looking at what's going on elsewhere. Get your looking balls fixed on the field and blow out them vocal cords.
Your looking balls. I like that.
Okay, that's it from me. I need to take my meds. That's
yes, you do.
Aaron in Virginia. So.
Paul, I got one for you.
What do you got for me?
So the year before I came here, when Andy's life, everything was right in it before I arrived.
That is true.
Went to a game, sat in the 98.5 seats with Bertrand and a couple other
guys. And they didn't know you?
No. So
you sat next to Bertrand? You had to squish way over to the other side?
So that was me.
Really?
That was hateful.
Wow. That was...
I'm sorry.
So
he's a good friend of mine now.
Now, he says.
Well, I got to know him really well.
I don't
so
know him at
basically
all.
What Fred just said in this email is what was happening.
I knew him, I wouldn't.
There was
fun.
A guy behind us explaining everything and basically giving a play-by-play right in your ear while you're just trying to watch football.
Was it Paul?
And I turn around to just make some sort of wise remark, probably three or four beers deep, and I look and he's explaining it to a blind guy.
Oh, that would be something Andy would do.
And I was like,
Yeah. That would be something Andy would do.
I shut up real quick.
That's why they hate Andy.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Who's letting the kid announce the draft? Oh, whoops.
Bad Kevin writes in, wow, Fred, you're okay with Josh fist pumping outside the Broncos bus and we had to hear you bitch and whine for weeks after he did it to our bus? You're a true homer. And Bill, I trust F the Jets. Yeah, absolutely.
Paul? Paul doesn't get sarcasm.
I know how much it bothered me, so I want to use it on them.
Bowling for dollars.
Yeah.
Elway will be here. You going to bring your jersey and get it autographed?
No, I'm not.
That's your idol. That's your idol. You going to look for him in the press box or suite or something?
No.
Caressing.
Actually, I work during the game. I'm very busy.
Is that what you call it? All I ever see on your thing is, I'll be back in 15 minutes.
No, you see that at halftime, D-bag.
My personal favorite
popcorn.
Is...
popcorn.
You ask my readers, I don't stop... until halftime, and I start up, and I don't stop again until the end of the game.
My personal favorite is
over quality.
Is the second play of the game. Devin McCourty's playing safety, and play safety pretty much every passing down thereafter.
Later.
In the middle of the second quarter, Fred taking off one of his headphones
because he's deaf in one ear now.
McCourty playing safety?
He doesn't care for it.
That's your idea of working.
Mike's away on ESPN right now. Yeah, I know, and Tom Jackson, too.
Freddie, are you going to break out the skin-tight Elway shirt? Someone else asked me that.
No, I'm not.
Too.
No, I'm not.
No.
No, I'm not.
It's a singlet now, Paul.
That's not funny. That's not funny at all. Did you get to the bottom of why he's rooting for the Broncos?
He hasn't said.
I have not said who I'm picking on the game.
But forget about who he's picking. Why
know
is
who
he
you're
for the
rooting
Broncos?
For, whether you pick
are
them
you
or
rooting
not.
For the Broncos?
That's why does
inaccurate.
He like the Broncos?
That's inaccurate. I was rooting for them last week against
why
the Steelers.
Like, why does
I hate
he like,
Ben Roethlisberger?
Why does he like the Broncos?
Why'd you root for him in December 18th?
I didn't root for
the
them. I predicted that they would win. That's what we do on this show. We make picks.
Is that what you and Andy are separate? Andy roots for his picks.
Are you a Broncos fan?
No, never have been.
Okay.
I hate the Broncos.
You just like Tebow and God.
I hate the Broncos.
I will say I like Tebow, but that's not why I'm picking
because
the
he's
games.
A good quarterback?
Because he's a good person, I think.
Oh.
He's a good Christian.
And I think he's becoming a good quarterback.
Wait, are you a Christian or a Catholic?
Both.
Not according to Christians.
No, Catholics are Christian. You
no,
believe
they,
in Christ.
No, they are part of Christianity, but they're not Christians.
Yeah, there goes the last 10 minutes.
Christians are part of the Protestant movement, which broke away from the Catholic Church. Right?
He's looking down his nose at
that,
you.
That's correct.
Literally, he's looking down his nose at you.
They both follow the teachings
of Jesus
Christ.
We had a good
Jesus
hour and 50 minutes.
But a Christian would say that
Jesus Christ.
A Christian would argue
yes,
vehemently
that's what we're talking about, Andy.
To separate themselves from Catholicism.
They might, but...
Not might. They do.
Why are you all so vehement about
no,
this?
No, I just think we need to clarify this. It's not the same.
So you shouldn't be rooting for Tebow. You guys aren't the same.
He hates you, actually. Right? Is that true?
No.
They don't hate anybody.
No.
No. If you truly follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, you hate no one.
So Christians and Catholics are the same. They love each other.
Well, when he was alive, there was no such thing as
who?
Either of them.
Who?
Jesus. There was no Christianity.
Darth Vader.
Right. Well, he goes way back. He
or
goes,
whoever you are.
He goes way back.
He's before that, man. That's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Right?
You two need to keep fighting. You didn't hash this out. I need to know because I don't know if Christians are and Catholics are the same
they
or not.
They are not the same.
He said they are.
No. They are not. The religion is not the same. People might be.
Right. The religious
well,
tenets
are the
they're slightly different. But if you just take it from its from the meaning of the word, a Christian is someone who believes in Christ.
Right.
And Catholics believe in Christ.
That's true. That is what they have in common. Although the Christians would say the Catholic religion bastardized the whole thing.
Yes, there are differences, slight differences, but essentially...
So Tim Tebow thinks you're a bastard.
I don't know. I'll ask him this weekend.
You should. Are you going to Tebow in front of him?
I might be...
it wouldn't be the first. Forget it.
I might be checking that out this weekend.
I didn't say it.
Depending on how the game goes. No, the Tebow. The Tebow experience.
Yeah.
I might...
I won't because I can't be.
I haven't been in the.
Can't
visitors.
Be sure what I'll do if I get in his presence.
Yes, you can because we saw him at the.
I usually I reserve that for the Jets,
and that's fueled my hate for 3 years now, or 2.5 years.
I usually reserve my trips to the visitors' locker room for the Jets games.
You need less hate in your
but
life.
But I might.
You'll only go see Tebow if Tebow wins. I know you. You look for the negative angle.
Well, first of all, that's not.
Why'd
a negative.
Why'd you kick the Patriots' ass, Tim?
That's not a that's negative. That's not a negative angle.
That's why they call him Negative Illo.
Mike,
what the heck was that?
Mike in Florida.
Did you just hear that in the background?
No.
No.
What? Oh, it was John Rook.
Mike in Florida says, Mangini said on ESPN
still
the most important
the
thing McDaniels will provide is insight into the weaknesses of the players that no one but the coaches who watch the practice film can know. He used a great example of Damian Woody's weaknesses that the coaches knew about him from practice film, but the opposition rarely attacked because it was not as evident from just game film. F you to idiot Scott from Raleigh who called the other day and said he was calling only to correct all the moron fans about Belichick's value system. Then he goes on to mutter things more ignorant than my 10-year-old nephew says about football. To the pinko from Sweden, spewing among other BS that Andy should read Marx. Hey, you silly little brainwashed pseudo-intellect, stop regurgitating your professor's class warfare nonsense until you move out of your mommy's basement and live in the real world for a while. Paul is right. All fans suck, including myself. I just sucked the right thing.
Whoa.
Hey, now. Is that a nipple?
I hope so. I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's see. Kyle Love's wife also said now she replied to someone else and said he is fine. Praying for Kyle Love, and he knows why. I hope everything is okay for real. Yes, he is fine.
Oh, maybe there's something in the family.
Yes.
Bet you it's a family issue.
Non-injury related?
Could be.
Could be a lot of reasons why a guy's not injury.
Which is what we started with.
Right.
Not injury related.
Until we thought he was dead because she said pray for him.
But I'll bet you there's an illness or some kind of crisis in the family that he's attending to.
That's unfortunate.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. But for Patriots fans, as unfortunate as it is, I think they're probably happy to have him be part of the defense. A lot of movement. A lot of movement. A
lot of emails, too. Fred's not going to read any of them, apparently. But
I'm just waiting for you guys to finish.
There was 4 seconds of dead air there.
Mark in Fall River, the question in response to Andy's tweets about the players at the podium. Andy, you seem to have an unnatural obsession with the informal footwear of several players at the podium today. Were you trying to point out that there was a laid-back atmosphere, or am I reading too much into
it? Painting a picture.
Yeah, I did chuckle at that. Every time someone went to the podium, Andy had to tell me what they were wearing on their feet.
Well, it caught my eye that Brian Waters had old man black slippers on, and then Matt Light had flip-flops on. And I don't do it for everyone. I didn't notice Matthew Slater's. I think he just had sneakers on. That's run-of-the-mill. That's not interesting.
I'm just reading a tweet here from the Baltimore Ravens. Interesting. Flacco to the media today. This is one of the reasons why I think people don't have a lot of faith in him. I'm sure if we win, I'll have nothing to do with why we won, according to you guys. That's not an inspiring
quote. That's Mark Sanchez-like. Mark Sanchez-like.
That's not what you're looking for.
Stop sucking so bad.
I think it's not necessarily that. I think it's whining about not getting any credit. It's internal weakness, is what it is.
I agree. Like Mark Sanchez. They're the same person. Nothing good comes from the CAA.
Yeah, update on that. Brian Dawkins is doesn't have his helmet, I guess, so I wouldn't expect him to play. He is at practice, but Jeff Legwald says that he does not have his
helmet. He'll be joining us Saturday night around 6-something on the Patriots pregame social. Because we already beat up Mike Kliss.
You missed Mike Kliss.
No, I didn't. Because Eric Carroll had another Kliss. Oh, okay. So I did get to.
Still hasn't seen a Kliss.
Yeah, it's been a long time, Andy.
No, I thought he was. I thought he was fine. It was hard to attack him.
Years. Yeah, that's what Carroll was saying. We were disappointed.
6 years, John Rook.
Disappointed.
He was no Vito Stellino.
6 year dry spell.
Look at John Rook's eyes.
Dried up and he fell off. That's unconfirmed.
He looks like.
But not untrue. That's unconfirmed.
Wait a minute. I'm going to go on Twitter right now. Can't confirm.
This is a tweet, Andy, that I know will get your dander up from one of our listeners. Oh, the irony of reading the Bible while listening to MeDNA, Jumbo Heart, at PFW Eric debate Christianity and Catholicism.
I wasn't debating anything.
No. Oh, the irony of reading the Bible while we debate Christianity.
Coincidence.
It's not irony.
So this person was reading the Bible while listening to this show?
That's coincidental. That's
holy
not
mackerel.
Ironic.
That's mayonnaise on an Italian sub, if you ask me.
Ironic would be if
I like your use of mayonnaise on an Italian.
Right. Ironic would be if you're practicing Satanism while listening to us debate Christianity.
No, I think this is practicing Satanism. This show.
Okay.
I'm saying.
Irony is one of the more misused words.
Different. The Bible and this show.
While you're in there, tell me what 317 is.
Do you just want to know what's around it?
Yes, I want to know. Put it in context.
In case we win 31-17 and they don't miss the extra point this time.
In case he wants to build on it and he goes 3 for 17 or something. That's what he'll do this week, 3 for 17. Just miss.
John Rook's here. Hey, John.
Gentlemen. And Andy. How are we
doing? Is the dark cloud still following you around?
No.
PC blew out Louisville.
Because of PC, I hear you won't be at the game this weekend?
I will be probably in the process of watching the Friars get pounded at number one ranked Syracuse on Saturday.
And all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
Isn't Louisville ranked 14 or
they
something?
They were.
So
they
that
were.
Was a good win.
Not anymore.
Very good win. Not anymore, they're not. No, that's very true.
Yeah.
No, it was, yeah, it was very good win.
They've lost like three in a row now, right?
They've lost
three in a row.
Yeah, three in a row and two in a row and four out of five. So that's something like that. Anyway. Yeah, it was a good W. Good for the Friars. They were on the verge of kind of breaking out a little bit, and Louisville just stunk up the joint last night. And when you put those two things together, bang, you have routes.
How was the reception for Ricky P?
It was actually okay.
He always gets.
He was actually intending they were celebrating the 25-year anniversary of the Final Four team. Mm-hmm. He was going to stay out on the floor. And, you know, because there were some guys on the team he has not seen literally in 25 years, mm-hmm. but because of the way they were getting the crap beat out of him at halftime, he went to the locker room with his team.
Really?
Yeah.
Was Yazyk Duda there?
Yazyk Duda was there.
You sure he didn't go to one of the best names in college basketball?
Italian restaurant and send some woman over?
Best all-time names.
Some good PC talk. All right.
Dave Kipfer?
John, what do you got
today? Politically correct talk.
Wait. Who's
Pop Lewis?
Another Patriots first down?
I believe my replacement this weekend is John Dolan, who actually is sub for a couple of Revolution games.
Oh, I thought it was the owner of the Knicks.
No, not the same guy. That would be.
Oh, so he's making his.
Is it John?
Gap, though, John?
I think it was John. Wasn't
no,
it?
I don't think no. it's John. I think
Pete?
It's no, that's Jim Dolan. I think is that
Ned.
Guy's name.
Yeah. But more importantly, he's making his debut during
for the Patriots,
a divisional
James?
Round Ooh, playoff geez. Game.
I know it wow. sucks. But
what happened to Dickerson?
Somebody's got to do it. I don't know. Yeah. I think the Celtics are out of town.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
What about Bilo?
I'll be back for the game that matters.
I'll
be back for the game that
the
matters.
AFC Championship.
Yeah,
right.
AFC Championship. Okay. I wouldn't miss that for the world.
I like it. Positive. John See? Rook. Stay tuned for his show.
I wonder hey, if there's too much good karma.
And that's 14 fantasy points for Tom Brady.
And, of course, at 4 o'clock, the unique brand of sports radio that only Pete Shepard can bring. We'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.